Are you ready to do something about your high credit card debt? Tired of paying double-digit interest rates, late fees, over-limit fees? It's time to stop the madness. Get out of debt the safe and affordable way with Credit Card Relief. With Credit Card Relief, there are no upfront fees, no monthly maintenance fees, and no settlement fees. You don't pay anything until a debt is settled, all with a 90-day money-back guarantee. That's Credit Card Relief, managed by local attorneys in-state, with workout plans tailored to your debt situation. Get out of debt in months instead of years, all while saving thousands in future bank fees. Call the original Credit Card Relief, where the consultation is free and the results are real.
Call 866-290-8282. Not available in all states. That's Credit Card Relief. 866-290-8282. 866-290-8282.
Hi, welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I'm Matthew Aaron, www.thematthewaaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron on Twitter, Matthew Aaron on the Facebook. You know, you know where to find me if you need me. I will ignore you. But how excited are you for tonight? You know this is big for me. You know I plug this show huge.
Yes.
The creator of Men of a Certain Age. He was also executive producer of Lucky Louie. He wrote and was executive producer for Everybody Loves Raymond. Two-time Emmy Award winner. Mike Royce will be joining us any minute now. So we're going to kick it off with Mike Royce.
Cool.
And I'm really excited, because as I expunged on last week, my favorite show is Men of a Certain Age. I think it's the best television show since Sopranos.
Absolutely.
Really?
Mike, there's a...
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, you may want to move her over if you... You two... So I got like two people right now.
Sorry, Mike's trying to get close to me.
Do you guys want to introduce yourselves, Lee?
Hi, everybody. Lee Capreas here. Hello.
And we'll also be joined throughout the show by...
Panzeratz, otherwise known as Mr. Michael Vincenzo Terzo.
And
Mr. Stefano from Mr. Beef and Pizza in North Harlem.
Yeah, Pat from Mr. Beef is
like
back.
Like how I just said my name and didn't say anything else, my full name or my websites.
Well, Pat's very excited. Yeah, you didn't get the plug, Lee. Everyone else got the plug. Pat's very excited, though, because Pat's ego's blown up huge. Because last week when Pat was on the show and you missed the show, you were at Cigars and Stripes, we discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Highest rated show in the history, most live viewers ever, and Pat credits it all to Pat DeStefano.
You're absolutely right. They like my voice. What do you want me to say?
I just want to throw this out here for God. Also, Mr. Beef North Harlem is the best beef, the only beef, and the best beef in Chicago.
Oh, God.
Is it the best beef in Chicago, Mikey?
Absolutely.
You're the source.
Look, I started the Johnny's Beef Facebook Club. I am the creator.
All right. Mike Royce is calling in. I've had enough of Terzo already. That was enough. Hello, this is Matthew Aaron. Who am I speaking with?
This is Mike.
Mike Royce, here we go.
Hey, Mike.
Kicking off the show right away here. How you doing, pal?
I'm all right.
Well, we were in the middle of plugging your show until Mikey broke in with his Johnny's Beef is the greatest beef ever rant. But
I don't want to interrupt that. That sounds important.
It's important only to Mikey. But here's the deal. We were just talking about I plugged this week, I plugged last week, I plug all the time. And I just want you to know, and this is no bullshit, I don't kiss any ass, nothing like that. But here's the deal. Men of a Certain Age is the best television program since Sopranos.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome, but you need to know that because I feel very strongly about it. And I got to tell you, last week's episode alone, A League of Their Own, who wrote that episode, by the way? I know Tucker Cawley was one of them. Who was the other person that wrote it?
Edomar Moses.
And a playwright, right?
He's a playwright. He's, I believe he's on Boardwalk Empire right now.
As a writer.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, Boardwalk Empire is a good show, too. It's no Men of a Certain Age. but League of Their Own, by far, was the best episode of the show in my mind. They only get better and better. It was amazing. It was fantastic.
Well, thanks. Thanks. I mean, thanks. I think, I've liked so far the first three episodes this year I thought were pretty strong. And so far this summer, that one really came together. And it has more crowd-pleasy type elements. Obviously,
Mike, are you near the computer? Because we're getting a little...
I noticed that. I'm trying to figure out how to... Let me see here.
I think you just got
I'm actually on a landline.
Oh, okay.
Is that better? Does that sound better?
No, it sounds better. It's just are you listening to the show?
I'm not. This is just my regular landline.
There it is. Never mind. What are you embarrassing my guest for?
That's the last time we listen to you people.
God.
Let me just say it's really nice to see good shows that are still coming out with new episodes during summer. It's not in strictly rerun season anymore. I mean, I think that's really great. I don't know if the makers of the show have anything to do with that.
Okay.
Well, cable is that's something that's been happening for a while. But we're hoping to, you know, get through to another season so that we can just be on in the summer and have 12 or 13 in a row instead of just the six like we have now.
Yeah. Lee here. I was also a big fan of Lucky Louie, which you were a producer of that. I have to say I was really glad somebody finally exposed, because that show was canceled after one season, finally exposed HBO viewers as a bunch of snobs who don't know who Norman Lear is. I really thought that was a very special thing. It was so different from the rest of their other programming, and centered around Louis C.K. stand-up, and he's so much more huge now than he was when they made that. It was really kind of something else there.
Well, it turned out to be a good thing, just in certainly raised Louis's profile, and from that, his stand-up really took off, and of course, he's just, you know, one of the most, if not the most amazing stand-up out there today. And so he was able to just start producing all the stand-up material, which then, because he became such a big guy in the stand-up world, I think it led to his show on FX now.
On which he has creative control, complete creative control, or supposedly as much creative control as they can give the guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which is great. Was that that was your aim for a sort of a Norman Lear type show with that?
I would say a lot of aims. He was also sort of queuing off the Honeymooners, and the main thing is, I mean, Louis is very idiosyncratic in terms of he obviously from, as you can see from his stand up, he beats to his own drummer, and he had a lot of sort of different things he wanted to accomplish. The main one was, you know, he was a little tired of sitcoms that felt too, not alive. You know, he really wanted to introduce almost like you're watching a live show, which is why it looked the way it looked. And you wanted to make sure that all the laughs you heard were, you know, nothing was sweetened or anything like that. Not that that happens with a lot of shows anyway, but. That was the main thing, is he just felt he wanted to really get, like, when he's a stand-up comedian and he's killing and just crushing with all these jokes, he wanted to make sure the sitcom felt the same way, that people would be laughing out loud at the show as opposed to just kind of, you know, as jokes go by, which is, like, it's the way he viewed some shows, you know, which is true. It's true.
Well, I'd heard that they'd had, they'd brought people in to watch the show, a live audience, and they didn't know what to expect. So then there are scenes where he's trying to give the wife an orgasm in the episode, and they got so much big laughs out of that, out of people just not knowing what they were going to see.
That is very true. And, you know, the funny thing is, for sitcoms, your first audience is that you get a lot of the time. I mean, people, for a new show, you have to sort of corral an audience. You have to go out and say, hey, do you guys want to, you know, see a new show? And a lot of times they bust people in from places. We had people from, like, you know, who were in rehab, like a big group from rehab. And that's just what happens on every show. But for this show, it was especially incredible to watch their reaction, because I think a lot of times, yes, they're getting bussed in and maybe not seeing the greatest show or seeing something that obviously where people aren't swearing, that just didn't happen on sitcoms. So this just caught people very unawares and went to this hugely sort of, I don't know what you want to call it, out there place that it definitely blew some audiences' doors off, that's for sure.
Well, my question then for you, Mike, is you started out then how? You started out with, did you start with Raymond or did you start before that with writing?
Well, I was a stand-up, you know, in New York for a long time, and Raymond was my first staff job. I had one before that on an MTV show that only lasted for a season with the Sklar brothers. And then Bill Lawrence gave me a job. I was the warm-up comic for Spin City, and Bill Lawrence gave me a job in terms of – I wrote a script, but I wasn't on the staff of that show, of Spin City. And then I moved out to California to do the show with Raymond.
Okay. Well, when you did the show with Raymond, now did you work your way up? Because I know you became executive producer. And what's that process like?
Well, I was one of the 17 executive producers. The thing is, you're mostly a writer. If you're a writer, basically what happens is you move up.
you know, as if you're on a hit show and you keep getting renewed, your title will improve. And so I went from, you know, staff writer to story editor to then you started getting producer credits. So by the end, I was an executive producer, but there were a lot of people who had been around for a long time who were executive producers as well. I wasn't the showrunner or anything like that. But the main thing was, you know, I had helped Ray write a book. That's how I got a job on the show. And, you know, he liked what I was doing. He introduced me to Phil Rosenthal, who was the creator and showrunner of Herbert Berman. And, you know, after the first season, I didn't really feel like I was pulling my weight that well. I had written one episode I didn't think had come out that great. And I was a little worried. And then I think luckily I caught fire a little more in the second season. I wrote some scripts I was much happier with. And I just stuck around.
Now, how is it? Now, I know this is a kind of a basic question, but I'm really interested. How is it working with Ray Romano? Because he's one of my stand-up idols. I'm always telling people that and stuff. And I'm really interested in what Ray is like on like a work basis, like when you work with him.
Well, he's first of all extremely down to earth and nice guy, and. I think would surprise people is that he's, in his own way, very, very much a perfectionist. He probably doesn't seem like the kind of guy necessarily, because he's kind of like a, you know, quote-unquote regular guy or whatever. But his attention to detail is really, really pretty sharp. We actually are given more writing time than a normal show. By TNT, because Ray is not just a writer in, you know, name only, where he shows up for an hour a day and, you know, sees what we're doing. He's really writing just like the rest of us. And he's like a lot of the best things that we've done in the show have been ideas that have come from him that we worked really hard to make exact. I mean, like there was a show we did where they got a colonoscopy. I'm sure that sounds appetizing to everybody who hasn't seen the show. If you haven't seen the show, don't worry. It's a good episode, and it's not gross like that.
And the thing I really like about even that episode is there's this, and tell me if you agree. Oh wait, we got a phone call. This may be Bruce Fretz. Hold on.
Okay.
Bruce,
do you want me to call back, by the way, with the feedback and all that stuff?
Bruce, I'm hearing there's feedback, but I'm recording it on a separate audio thing now, so we're going to just fix it afterwards.
All right. I mean, if you want, I can try back.
Could you try right back, Mike?
Yeah, I'll call you. Let me try. I'm going to actually try my cell phone. I thought that would be worse, but let me try my cell phone.
Maybe it would be better. Thanks.
I'll call you right back.
So, Bruce, while we're waiting for Mike... why don't you explain to me why is everyone complaining to me about Treme today?
About Treme? I thought people were complaining about the killing.
That's what they're complaining about. Yeah, I keep hearing this. I know nothing about it.
Wait, they're complaining about the killing or they're complaining about Treme?
Oh, no, they're complaining about someone died on Treme or something.
That happened too. I'm hearing a lot of people complaining about the killing, though.
Oh, that Ryan Dunn thing? Yeah, we're going to get to that later in the show. Yeah, I'm. I have my.
How could people possibly confuse the killing with Treme?
Oh, the actual show, The Killing. Now we're completely confused. I'm talking about Ryan Dunn drunk driving off a bridge. He's talking about The Killing, which is Bruce's other favorite show, and Treme, where someone died on Treme. Let's make it clear.
Ryan Dunn from Jackass.
Yeah, he's gone.
Oh shit. I didn't know that. I had no idea.
Isn't the controversy that Roger Ebert? We did that Jackass Don't Let Friends Drive Drunk, and people said it was too soon.
I think it was Friends Don't Let Jackasses Drive Drunk.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was a little soon, I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
was that the Roger Ebert thing? Hold on, Mike's calling back in. Let's see if we can get this rolling now.
Right.
Mike, is that you?
We'll find out.
We hear nothing on our end. I'm getting feedback from listeners that there's some kind of feedback.
Huh.
Okay.
But I want to keep talking about this.
Jeez.
Without killing myself right now. Go ahead. Lee wanted to talk about Lucky Louie, was it?
Well, no,
Well, Louis was just in town.
Yeah, well, he was for the Just for Laughs Festival, and that's now at the Chicago Theater, and I'd seen him maybe three times, and now he's playing to a sellout crowd, and he's like, in Chicago, like a bunch of comedians, he's like the, known as the sort of comics comic, like all the comics really, I mean, he's all the comics' favorite, and it's just... I'm noticing now a lot more comedians are sort of desiring to be career stand-up comedians. It used to be you did stand-up for a while, you gained popularity at it, and then you got a sitcom or you wrote for a sitcom that might have had your name in the title if you were very lucky. And I'm seeing right, not right. much of that now.
I mean, well, there's no more sitcoms, and there's very little comedy. That's the problem.
Right. But, I mean, that... Have you noticed that change? I mean, you did stand-up for a while before you were working in television. Have you sort of noticed that evolution a little bit? And you have people like Chris Rock who are known for being just career stand-up comics. I mean, who also do movies and stuff, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think Seinfeld is kind of the epitome of that. Seinfeld did a whole television show and then, you know, basically said, yeah, I only did that so I could, you know, I prefer doing stand-up.
Right.
And I think there's certain people who just you can make a guy and living at it now. It's become very popular. And I'm sorry, the feedback is nuts.
Oh, damn feedback.
I'm really fucking annoyed right now. Like at a high degree.
Yeah,
because everything.
I'm trying to figure out how to beat it. You would think I would be on a computer. Maybe if I call on a computer, it'll be like double feedback, and then we'll beat it.
No,
that's a good point, like a double negative. One negative cancels out the other, maybe.
Yes. I mean, I'm not making any sense right now, but let me try and call you through Skype. If that works. How about that?
I don't know, because I'm hearing there's feedback on Bruce's end, too.
Yeah, I'm getting feedback.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I don't even think it's you, Mike. I think there's some incompetency going on here that's probably on my end.
See, there's a problem because if I hear myself talking, I'm just going to hate myself more. So that's what's holding me back.
Oh, no, yeah.
Yeah, no. I'm just like, I'm so pumped for this, and then there's feedback. Of course there's got to be because you run a show in your mom's basement.
Right.
You run a show in
your mom's basement. A show which, by the way, Bruce was kind enough to mention in Cheers and Jeers.
Yes,
it's a very well-deserved cheers now this week, barely able to get it sounding like a regular show, a much-deserved cheers. Thank you for that, Bruce. I wanted to thank you for that.
Well, Peter Tomlin interview, you know, I didn't know that Dennis Leary's uniform was being donated to the Smithsonian. That hadn't been reported anywhere, so you guys are breaking news with this podcast.
Well, we're breaking news, and we're also breaking records with crappy audio. That's what we're doing right now. Oh, man.
It is fairly shitty audio. I will give you that.
At least it was good when Dave Stone was on.
Well, you know what bothers me is we got thousands of listeners in Chicago. I'm trying to talk about Men of a Certain Age here, which is the best show on television.
Absolutely.
And everyone's going to be like, well, what the fuck does this guy know? He runs things out of a tin can. Great. Oh.
It just takes to how real the show is.
It's real bad. It's definitely real. Well, I'm hoping that recording in the other program, I can replace it later and it'll sound fine. Because you guys sound great on our end.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, no, there's no echo at all on my end. So let's just see if we can finish her up here. I do a good interview here and replace the audio.
See what happens when you don't pull the right permits, Matt?
Oh, you know what, DeStefano? You and the friggin' permits. It has nothing to do with the permits. I know every Italian in town. But, no, that's an interesting question. Mikey had a good question for Mike about the Italian experience
on
Ray Romano's show.
Mike, I watched Everybody Loves Raymond almost religiously. It was like the Sopranos for normal Italian people. And the thing that always amazed me, growing up in an Italian family and knowing that the real life story is that the Sopranos is a very small demographic of a fraction of a percent of people in the world, I was always shocked on how – you guys could capture the average second, third generation Italian family living in this country and how much I could still relate to it. And I wanted to know, where did you guys get that? Was it all Ray? Was it research? How did that come about?
Well, it's actual life.
Basically merges with the Jewish family.
Yeah, no, I was going to say Mike lived with Joe Pesci for four or five weeks.
Oh, really?
Oh, why isn't Joe Pesci doing a sitcom? That would be good.
I think he's like 75 or 100 now.
Here's the problem, because people are talking about ratings, and people are talking about how TV is now, and we briefly touched upon this last week with Pierre Tolan. But the feedback I get, not the feedback on this show.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The feedback I get, though, and I'm kind of curious if Bruce gets the same feedback as a critic, but not someone that actually makes television, is it's not that people don't want to watch sitcoms. It's just the quality. I hear from everybody they don't want to watch what's on TV because they don't like it. They don't think it's good. And then Men of a Certain Age is great. And my thing with Men of a Certain Age is I think TNT markets it very poorly. But that's neither here nor there. But, Bruce, I was curious if that's the kind of feedback you hear about why people aren't watching as much anymore, too.
I do hear that a lot, but I think people just don't know where to look. I think there's tons of great TV on right now, and there's probably more good TV on right now than ever before when you consider all the cable networks that are doing quality original programming. But people don't know where to look. There's just so many damn channels.
Yeah, I think it hurts, but it's great that with all the cable companies, the cable's putting out better programming than the networks, and I think that's kind of what it is.
You know, something that I always thought maybe it had an effect on that is there's so many other aspects of entertainment right now with the information age and our phones and video games and all like that. Maybe people just aren't, you know.
That plays a part.
Surfing as much.
That plays a part.
But you said before, Matt said, that you watch certain shows on TV when they come on.
Yes, but I'm the only person I know that does that.
Well, no, if certain shows...
Outside of people over 40.
I think if a show is good enough, people will watch it that way. You know what I mean?
I kind of agree, except my experiences, I know a lot of 27-year-olds or people younger than me or people slightly older than me that they watch a lot of stuff on Hulu, they watch a lot of stuff on Netflix, they watch a lot of stuff that way. It's not that they don't like Community, but they're out smoking reefer at 7 p.m.
Right. Well,
they're having a drink or
whatever. They want to look cool for their friends, like they can use technology.
Right. But and the thing with Men of a Certain Age is there going to be a third season, Mike? Because there's got to be. And what can we do to make there be one?
Well, I would love to bring news, but I don't know that yet. Our biggest problem is there's a thing in television now that's giving aid and comfort to audiences, which is a part of the mentality of audience television.
Now I got him.
For the DVDs.
So Bruce, are you hearing Mike break up?
I can't understand what Mike's saying.
Yes, Mike, I think now the cell phone.
Son of a bitch.
Here we go.
Call me back. I will, maybe that'll help.
I'll call you back.
All right, don't call us. We'll call you.
Yeah, we're going to call you in like, hold on. Let me write down your number, which I never do. I hate
will you call the phone
shit.
Company and pay the bill, please?
Yeah. By the way, we're recording this on a dictaphone that Edison used.
Ma, pay the bill! Ma!
Right.
All right, Mike, I'll call you right back.
Okay, thanks.
All right, we're going to call Mike, and we'll see if we can get a better reception at least.
Are we on now?
This is what you call live radio.
Yeah, what's going on? What's up with today?
I feel so bad.
I do, and he's a great guy.
Bruce Fretz is getting an email from me that's actually going to have tears on the email. That's how strong the tears are going to be that they make email. Oh, all right. Now we're going to call Mike.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. It's really Caesar.
We're missing Marconi Giardinera. That's the problem.
Hey, Marconi invented the telephone.
Hey, you know what? Especially about Marconi. How about that Zamboni the other day, huh?
Yeah. No, but like, don't.
All right, we're dialing. Mike Royce is going to be on the air. This must be comedic for everyone that hates my fucking gut. I hope you're on.
Hello.
Yeah. There we go. I can hear Mike now. I was just talking about how anyone that hates me must love this. They're eating it up with a spoon right now.
Well, I'm still hearing some feedback, but it sounds maybe less. I'm not sure.
Hey, well, at least we can hear you now. It was breaking up.
Okay.
The feedback that I don't get to hear.
Yeah, if I had a choice of people hearing you or us, I think you is who we would prefer to hear.
All right. Now, let's do this appropriately. Bruce, do you got any questions for Mike? Because you got better questions than I do at this point. My brain's a mess now.
Well, I mean, I am interested in this question of how people watch Men of a Certain Age, and I know the ratings for the live broadcast haven't been as good as the DVR numbers. And was that the case again last week, that it went up in the DVR numbers? Or?
I have seen the DVR numbers for this particular past episode. But that is generally our thing. I mean, we're on a clock. No. People go to bed sometimes. It's also just a show that I think plays better. Any show plays better without commercials, obviously.
Yeah.
But off particularly kind of a quiet show, and you don't have a half break that are like, oh my God, guess who killed the guy with the ice pick or whatever the hell.
Just good. I like shit like that.
Yeah, I agree. Well, it's a melancholy show, too. Would you agree, Mike, that it's a little melancholy?
I think what we're trying to show is relatable characters in real life, and there's ups and there's downs. I think some people think there's some stuff because it's about midlife, people then go, oh, it must be about a midlife crisis, and then they go, oh, it must be about a bunch of sitting around, which of course is not. Right. Well, I think there's some in there.
Right. I think a big part of it is, though, while it is melancholy, there's always this ray of hope on the show. And there's your tagline, ray of hope. But there is. I mean, for every character, you guys aren't depressing. I mean, it's not, even when they're in situations where it's a little downtrodden. I mean, Ray left his wife. Scott Bakula's kind of now lost in love. He doesn't, you know, he's trying to find himself. He finally wants to be with someone, which, by the way, Melinda McGraw is fantastic on the show.
Oh, she's amazing. Yeah. Love her.
Fantastic. I mean, she plays that role so well. But like, for instance, last week's episode, and this is my point, last week's episode starts very like, you know, Andre Brower's character, his business is struggling. They're not selling any cars. And the first 30 minutes is kind of like, oh man, what's going on here? Ray's getting involved with bookies. Oh, by the way, Robert Loggia was on the show last week. He's awesome. He's great.
Love Robert Loggia.
He's great. It's like, he's fantastic, but
he's quite the best of it.
By the end of the episode, you are feeling so many emotions and so many things that you don't feel when you watch television. You want to get up and cheer at the end of the episode. You're really into it. It was such a great episode, and a lot of episodes are like that. They really are. It's very emotional. No, I mean, that's rare, because for me as a writer, when I write, I'm kind of like, okay, how can I get people to really enjoy? Now I write more like straight-out comedy stuff, and I've heard Ray Romano say, you know, maybe part of the problem also is because it stars Ray, they're expecting all comedy, or they're expecting like a sitcom. Do you think that's a legitimate issue, Mike?
I think it was in the beginning. And I think now kind of people know what they're getting, but I still think if somebody hadn't seen the show, I still, every day I read on the internet comment board, somebody going, yeah, I don't like Ray, you know. Like, people, that is a prejudice that they have. It's not the worst thing in the world, because it's better than them not knowing who he is, you know. But at the same time, there's always, like, there's a whole bunch of people who are getting their minds changed over by him, you know.
Right.
No, I totally agree. And the thing with Ray is, too, I think people have this idea. Someone said to me the other day, and I don't know if I agreed with this, because I loved Everybody Loves Raymond. It was like my favorite show. But someone said to me the other day, I love Men of a Certain Age because I didn't know Ray could act. And Ray does play a different version of himself on this show, or, you know, he doesn't even really play himself, maybe. I don't know. But he does a very good job on the show. And if you're expecting Ray Romano from Everybody Loves, or Ray Barone, you're not getting Ray Barone. Trust me.
Right, right.
Like, gotta check this out. It's something totally different that he's done. And I think him, Scott Bakula deserves an Emmy nomination this year at least. He's been so good.
Well, all of them, you know. I mean, Andre got nominated last year, and I really think that all three of them have a legitimate shot this year. It's a very tough category, especially lead actor is very, very tough. And you know, best drama is the toughest category out there. But I think those three guys have a legitimate shot.
No, I absolutely agree. I think they do, too. They're excellent on the show. And you would think you guys just won a Peabody. That's a big deal. I mean, you would hope.
We were very, very surprised and honored by that. That came out of nowhere.
Does Ray Romano, in his wildest dreams, think he's going to win a Peabody? Like, does that shock him?
Well, I'll just repeat the joke where he said, I had to Google Peabody.
Because, you know, I'm sitting there, and I was even like, wow, this show won a Peabody. That's something else.
Yeah.
And you know, I would think TNT, with all the critical raves behind the show and everything, would hopefully get behind it, give the third year a chance, and market it better. It needs to be marketed better. A lot of people know it's out there.
I'm curious in terms of what you think was market, because I still have my own opinion.
I have solutions in my own mind, Mike.
Okay.
Look, here's the deal is I think a younger demographic of males would really like this show. They don't know it exists. I think because the show's title, and I think because of the content of the show, I think TNT was thinking very one-dimensional and said, okay, we got to market this to older males. And I know a lot of older women that watch the show, too, and enjoy it a lot. Like, my mother loves it.
Well, there
Chuck's mother loves it.
You know, you see so few bits of material out there in movies and TV that are about older people.
Well, I'll give you an example.
So youth-oriented.
Let me give you some examples, because I always hate saying, oh, this was done badly and having nothing to back it up with. Some things I would have done differently is, for instance, Ray, Scott Bakula, and Andre Brower. I know it's a private life. I know they're private people, probably. Not on Twitter. That hurts. I really do believe it hurts. I really do think so.
Well, that's true, but that is totally their
TNT prerogative. Love it. On TNT, then, though, I'll give you on TNT, they're not marketing to a younger demographic. There's a lot of cool moments on this show where if you're younger, you would be like, these guys are older, but that's me. That's me. I mean, they could be doing things like music videos, music spots. It should be in movie theaters before the movies. Like, they promote the...
Well, they are doing that. They're putting it in movie theaters.
All we've seen is Franklin and Bash in my movie theater.
Right.
And I'm like, how are they marketing this show so well, Franklin and Bash? You can't get away from it. And Men of a Certain Age...
Honestly, our first season, we had overwhelming blanketing. I mean, the pilot got numbers.
Right.
Cable almost as much as Falling Skies. I think a lot of people came to the show expecting one thing, but it wasn't that thing. You know, they wanted something more of a comedy. Right now, the process of the audience changing, you know. People who like what we're doing are coming to it, as we've shed the people who want our comedy about Seattle, whatever.
Right. Well, Mike, do you think it also maybe hurts to split up the season like they did with 6 episodes here and 6 episodes there?
I think that did hurt the show. You can't get much momentum going. I mean, even covering it for TV Guide... You know, we do double issues. We only have, like, 3 issues we can write about the whole season of the show.
Yes. I'm going to give you a long-winded explanation, try to blast through the feedback with this. So here we go.
It'll be an explanation so good it will cut the feedback in half. It'll cut it.
Well, the main thing is you're right. And I think everybody at TNT knows that it hurts the show. On the other hand, it was the best solution. It was the best answer to a bad – there were no great answers to what we needed to do. The bottom line is when we started in the winter, And when the first season was on in the winter, the problem is you only get a few weeks in a row before the deals with the NBA that TNT has in place come up. So we were on Mondays.
Right.
We ran sixth in the first season. Then the seventh week, not only was the show not on, but there was not even a repeat. It was just an NBA game. So everybody came to watch the show the next week and went, well, I guess they're canceled. And we were getting a pretty healthy number at that point, pretty good rating. So then there's the week of the NBA game. Then you come back the next week and our ratings were in the toilet because I think everybody just thought, I guess that show's not around anymore. We had two episodes then and then another break. Again, no repeat, NBA game. Then we came back for the final two. We did 10 episodes of the first season. By the time we got through that mess, the ratings at the end of the season were not great, but TNT said, you know what, we're going to renew it because it's good enough, and also, you know, they love the show, and we're going to create this plan to try and get you guys on in the summer because we don't want you to go through that again, and we also don't want the show to be on opposite Monday Night Football, which is what we had to deal with as well.
Yeah, they didn't count on the 5-minute attention span of most people. Like, oh, it's not on this week, canceled.
No, it was just a bad, you know, situation, and so there were three choices. We could have been on again in the winter with all those breaks, and probably had, you know, numbers as bad or worse than what's happening now, which is, you know, we're hanging in there, but I have a feeling it would have even gotten worse. We could have waited a year and a half to be on again so that they put all the episodes on this summer. That didn't sound like a good solution. So the split the baby solution was, you know, put six on in the winter, put six on in the summer, and then the next season we'll just all be on and we'll finally be sort of, you know, oriented over to the summer. I think they're going to give us the benefit of the doubt and say, yes, you need a shot at a regular, you know, Mad Men 12, 13 episodes in a row over the summer. Just let people, you know, start it and get caught up in it and that kind of thing.
No, Mike, and that's a good explanation. You do kind of take a little heat off of TNT with it. I still give them a little bit of heat. Because the decision's bad to begin with. It's bad to begin with. Like Bruce said, he's absolutely right. You can gain very little momentum that way. And this is a show where, like, after the sixth episode and I had to wait for six more, I'm kind of sitting back going, okay, I want to see it. I want to see it. I want to see it. Like,
right.
It really does. Like, I think what younger listeners and younger viewers, a show like Mad Men's popular also because of the marketing. I'm telling you, this show's better than Mad Men. It's better than Mad Men, Men of a Certain Age. I swear to you, Mike, he's giving me the eyes. Really?
You know, listen, I'll put you on the phone with everybody in the Academy right now. I'd love to hear that opinion spread. I'm, you know, as a giant Mad Men and Sopranos fan, I can't go that far, but
I like Mad Men.
I'm a huge fan.
I like Mad Men a lot, but I just think Men of a Certain Age really hits home. And I think it's a show that will really hit home for a lot of people. And I just think something has got to be done to get younger people to watch. And, I mean, TNT cannot give up on the marketing of the show. They have to make an effort to get new viewers. And I know it's hard because, especially during the middle of a run, to get new viewers is hard. But, I mean, I'm telling you, I went over to two people's houses this week. And we went on the on-demand, and I made them watch this show, and there were four people at one, three people at the other, and everybody left the house both times saying they're going to watch this show from now on. And they're all younger. They're all between 20 and 27. They're all younger, and they were all really into it, and they had no idea it existed before I showed them.
Right, right. Yeah. It's totally true. We have had not very many episodes over the course of a very long time, and so it's been tough to stick to people's radars, both for people who, you know, watch it and people who've never heard of it. That is true.
Well, I'm going to do my part, Mike. I don't know how much I can do. I'm a nobody. I'm at the bottom of the totem pole, but I will get as many people to watch this show as possible.
Yeah. As soon as we get the sound thing figured out, we will get this show an Emmy.
Actually, Lee, I hear the sound's great now.
Yeah, I know.
No, now it's back going. Now it's tremendous. Should we cover stuff we should have covered before?
Yes, let's cover a couple things.
So what was it like with Louis C.K. on Lucky Louie?
Yeah. Oh, Mike, please tell me. I haven't heard this yet. let's recap. Mike really enjoyed working with Louis C.K. Louis C.K. is fantastic. Raymond was a great show. He got his start on SNL, stand-up comic, right?
Who?
Mike. He was a comic. SNL, Mike, or no?
I wrote a couple sketches for SNL when Ray did it, which they have listed on IMDb that I've been a writer at SNL since 1975. Oh.
Mike!
Wow!
I didn't know you were that old.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, IMDb gives you a giveth and taketh away.
1975. I'm looking at IMDb right now. I got to look at it. Hold it. Oh, yeah, 1975. How was it working with Bill Murray, Mike?
You know, Belushi was a genius. He was misunderstood.
Very nice. Very nice to know. And, Mike, what kind of programming are you watching? Are you watching anything?
Well, I apparently have to watch The Killing.
Yes, you do.
Because Bruce I need to know what the world is talking about.
Yeah, Bruce sold me on that.
Yeah. We watched about 5 episodes, and then we just stopped for just logistical reasons. We went out of town and stuff. And then I come back, and the finale was on last night, and I've never seen Twitter explode more. So I kind of understand it was apparently disappointing. I just don't know how. So now it's weird because all the negative buzz is making me want to, you know, rush through the next 5 episodes and figure out what happened.
Yep.
It's an overreaction.
Well,
it was still good. There were a few problems with it, but people are just, the rage is just out of control.
Bruce got me into
this. By the way, I just want to say that I directed Wednesday's Men of a Certain Age, and I hope everybody likes it. I hope everybody really likes it. But if they don't like it, I hope they carry it to the extreme that they've carried The Killing to, because the buzz is making everybody want to see it.
Or you could be like our last guest, Peter Tolan, and just wish them all ass and ball cancer.
Right.
Bruce and I were even raving about Men of a Certain Age to Peter. I think we got him to watch an episode.
Oh, excellent.
And he doesn't.
You know.
He hates TV.
Talk about a cranky guy. Bruce.
Yeah. Bruce, I thought you and I and Brett were cranky, and then Peter.
I know.
He's a crank.
He's a crank.
I love cranks, though, especially cranks who work in Hollywood.
Yeah.
He's a pretty talented crank, that guy.
He is.
So, Mike Royce, what's the writer's room like at Men of a Certain Age? How many writers do you guys got? Did you add writers as the show progressed? Where did you find these? Where did you find some of these writers? Like, what's your process when you're hiring writers?
It's mainly reading. You know, they gave me lots and lots of time. And the good thing was I was able to read. I kind of read everything first, and I pass on what I like over to Ray. And if we both agree on somebody, then we meet them. And, you know, there was nobody that we hired, like, based on, well, they have a reputation for this, or they had a role like this. We just read people's scripts, and if we liked and really felt like they were writing something in a vein that we liked and could use on the show, we hired them. And it worked out, I have to say, we have all people that I just love, and they're incredibly talented, and I hope they're still around when we get renewed.
Yeah.
And it was a great process, I have to say.
Well, my mother
that's not always the way it works.
My mother says to me the other day, she goes, "You love that show a lot. You should write a script for it." She doesn't know what a spec script is. So she goes, "You should write a script." I'm telling you, I watch this show and the writing's so good, I'm like, I ain't that good. I'm like, I'm all right. But these guys are good. Like, I'd be doing dick and fart jokes, like Bacula would screw in some broad, and then you'd hear, hey, maybe that'll get your younger viewers.
Yeah, that'll get your 18 to 24 demographic to stop watching.
They'll be like, the guy from Quantum Leap shit his pants while screwing some broad. Who wrote that?
Hey, you know?
Oh, the Matthew Aaron show has officially started.
True. That was our first poop joke.
Yeah.
So, yes, we have started.
I wanted to throw this out there. How about Peter Tolan's rule that he talked about when you...
if you're measuring cock, someone's got to die.
Yeah, how about that?
Right.
Bruce Fretz was with us. And, Mike, I got so much feedback about that one quote. I seriously got anywhere between 50 to 100 comments about that quote.
That,
people are putting it on their Facebook pages.
That could seriously have come from a David Mapp play.
That was amazing.
Yeah. He's sitting there. He's like, you know, guys, if you're going to measure dicks, somebody's got to die.
Yeah, that has gone, I guarantee, on a T-shirt, tombstone, bumper sticker.
Yeah. We should.
I want that embroidered on a pillow.
Yeah, we should send that. We should send that to IMDb for Peter's quote page. You know, they got the quote page on the IMDb.
Right.
If we're gonna measure cock, someone's got to die. It sounds like a great action line in a Bruce Willis movie.
Yeah. Right.
So, Mike, do you got any great quotes like that? Anything about cock measuring, Mike? Please.
Or death?
Or death?
Don't.
You do with balls on the
cock
show.
Cock measuring episode yet? Although, if that's what the public demands, I will bounce it off of three actors and see. I can tell you, this isn't really, I guess this is a segue into this story. You know, when we did that colonoscopy episode, we did a whole thing where they're getting ready, and actually in the show, it's a fairly poignant, we play this Jackson Browne song, and we show them sort of getting the little quiz that you get beforehand, and the prep is sort of gives them time to think for a second. And so when we did that scene, they're in hospital gowns, you know, they're undressing to get into hospital gowns. Of course, Ray and Scott, and you know, being actors, they put on whatever you put on that naked, that
sure.
underwear that makes it look like you're naked, you know, so when they're putting the thing on, they won't be shot, you know. So Andre just gets naked.
Well, he is black.
Andre, much to the surprise of the cameraman and everybody else on the set, was just plain naked under there. And I guess we have a lot of footage of that, which I have never watched.
I'm not very shocked at this story, to be honest.
That'll be an Easter egg on the DVD.
If I was Andre Brown...
It'll be more than an Easter egg.
Yeah. It'll be at least two Easter eggs and a full
Boy.
By the way, may I just get out real quick, two unsung heroes of this show on the cast, Richard Gant and Joe Mantle.
Oh, yep.
Fantastic.
Yep. Oh, John Mantle, yes. Both of them are incredible. Yes.
Yep.
John, that's right, yes. Yes, they're both great on the show.
I did give a cheer to John Manfredi. I gave Manfred his day. So
you do, and Richard Gant deserves a million cheers. He's great.
He does, great.
And Manfred walks around with that article taped to his forehead. He walks into bars. Hey, ladies, you know.
Good for him.
That really made his day.
That's what I did when we got a cheer last week. I went to, this is a true story. I actually posted it on Facebook. I went to Jewel. And I get in the line. It's like an Albertsons. I get in the line to check out, and I'm trying to cut, and I told everybody, Matthew Aaron, cheers from Cheers and Jeers, coming through. Coming through. Making my way. Move.
He put the Cheers and Jeers column on his forehead.
My mom printed it. My mother printed it out, and she showed all her friends at the pool. She showed all her friends at the pool.
She showed your uncle.
She went to a graduation party and showed everyone. She emailed everybody, and she goes, I'm going to frame this. Mr. Bruce wrote about you. It's Mr.
Mr. Bruce.
She doesn't go, Fred. It's Mr. Bruce.
Nice.
She comes in last week, and she's like, Mr. Bruce, I have a question for you about my soaps.
Yeah.
My mother, Mike, one of the reasons I love Raymond is my mother is Doris Roberts. Like, it's like Kathy Bates now, but in 10 years, she'll look like Doris Roberts.
Your mother looks like an angel.
Yeah, she isn't.
Wow.
I know Kathy Bates wasn't an angel. Wait, Mike, are you hitting on my mother?
Yeah, what was that?
Well, remember the Beatles poster comment?
Oh, you just like that she has a signed Beatles poster.
Well, I didn't know that was her, and I asked her if she was hot, and you're like, that's my mother, and then, you know. Back with me and Doris Roberts, you know.
Oh, yeah, Mikey did say, I don't know how you're going to feel about this, Mike Royce, but Mikey did say if there was an old broad he'd do, it would be Doris Roberts.
Wow. I don't quite know how to pass that information on to Doris, but I will.
Email her if she gets the email. I don't know if she's on the internet.
You know,
but,
I just figured that she wouldn't complain a lot. She'd teach me some things.
Oh my god!
And you know what? She's got a hell of a personality, and I bet you she can cook an excellent breakfast.
Oh
wow! Who's our booking guy?
Every single fact of that, right? Except the breakfast.
Oh, see? God. She don't make breakfast. Who's our booking guy, Pat Tobias? Cross Doris Roberts off the list. She ain't coming on.
No. At least not. At least Terzo has to be 500 feet away from a, from a microphone.
She's got a restraining order against Terzo already. You've got an 80-year-old broad who's got a restraining order.
I'm getting a letter from L.A. right now in the mail.
Bruce,
know it.
Bruce Fred, that's the next season of The Killing right there. Oh, poor Doris.
Oh.
I love Doris Roberts. Let me get that out there.
She's lady. Absolutely.
Nice lady, good actress. Terzo.
She's a lovely woman. She's a lovely woman.
Listen, if she's in her 80s now, if she can find Blog Talk Radio, then let's have it. You know what I mean?
Well, I was explaining to everyone outside during my 50th cigarette that my mother, if she could still have plastic on the furniture without looking socially like unacceptable, she would. Big fan of the plastic furniture over here.
Yeah.
Very.
Ray went through a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. And so I watched it, and I'm like, well, Ray's life was a lot similar to mine, which means I got no career because now I got nothing to write about. I'm a Ray Romano ripoff. Thanks, Ray, for listening for me.
Except you just wait a few more years, and you know, by the time you're his age when he did the show, they will have forgotten about him. That's the way it works in Hollywood.
It's true.
We'll
do a remake.
Yeah,
we'll do a remake.
It'll be called Some People Think Matthew Is Okay.
And Andre Brower could play my father, and he could walk around naked all the time.
You play your naked father.
Andre, it doesn't say in the script you got to be naked. Yeah, whatever.
He's a method actor, man. I kid you not. Is this what we're doing? I'm supposed to be in the hospital. Well, guy in the hospital wouldn't wear naked underwear. He'd just be naked.
Let me tell you something. He makes fat jokes classy.
You know, we're not going to be able to do that anymore, by the way.
He's losing weight?
He lost weight throughout the season. And, I see him now. And I'm not saying he's a thin man, but he's not. He's getting almost svelte.
All right, I figured out how to fix this, Mike. I'll send you an 8x10. I'm your new fat guy. We got it covered. I'm your
all
new
right.
fat man. You need a fat joke here and there. I don't even need a name. It could be the guy at the dealership and be like, oh, look how fat he is. And then I walk off screen.
It does kind of look like a little Shakespeare.
A little Shakespeare?
Yeah.
Well, a little pointy Shakespeare.
Oh, how not? Shakespeare wasn't that thin, pal, from what I saw.
Wasn't as big as you.
Would you stop? Bad joke. You see what I go through, Mike? I do a show out of my parents' basement. I have a pilot that will never get made. I got my friends calling me fat every 5 seconds.
And I'm 380 pounds.
You're 380 pounds if you lose two legs.
450.
This is my life, Mike.
So you guys can't get out of the basement. Is that what the deal is?
No. My locks is down here, and she's like, do your little show. You're never coming up. I'll send food.
Honestly, to be the fat guy, I think you'd have to gain a little weight because you're not incredibly
I'm like
fat.
Kevin James fat.
Yeah, I mean, it's not so much that you're weighty. First of all, your head is kind of shaped like a hazelnut. It's got kind of a strange shape to it. It's more that.
All right, welcome to the roast.
I don't think you're fat, though.
Oh, you're beautiful. I love
I
that
don't
hair.
Think that.
Where's Whitney Cummings to finally be funny?
It's always fun when your friends try to help you. No. You're not. No, you just your head's like a hazelnut. It's good.
Hey, you know what I like you? You know what I like about you, though, Mike? You are in the bald man club, and I'm losing my hair. And you aren't faking it to make it, my friend. Our buddy Lenny uses the Propecia. He's a
jackass.
It ain't helping a whole lot.
No, it ain't.
Were you not supposed to say that?
Oh, about Lenny and his Propecia?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Okay.
But I like Mike Royce because he lives by the Larry David method.
Bingo.
Yeah.
The thing about me is no one could ever argue. I mean, I had hair till I was probably in my, 30, then it started really going away.
Yep.
No one could ever look at me with hair and argue that's hair that needs to be kept.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm going to have hair till my mid-30s, but, I mean, it ain't worth much now. I look at Ray Romano's hair, and I go, that son of a bitch.
Yeah, no, he's got great hair.
I had hair like that at 50.
See, I don't care. I don't care if my hair looks awful, just as long as it's there.
Well, your hair looks like a Brillo pad going crazy.
Hey, I got hair like Fabio, and it's falling out. You think you got
nothing like Fabio.
Hey, I used to get compliments. I was 450 pounds, girl, at the time.
You've never heard of I Can't Believe It's Not Butter, my friend.
He looks like Flintlock over here.
Yeah, Goldilocks. He looks like he ate Goldilocks.
he can believe it's butter.
Oh, we are totally wasting Mike Royce's time.
I know. Yeah. Like, what's wasted with the sound problems? Now we're voluntarily wasting it.
Mike Royce, you know, though, the younger audience appreciates our disasters, so you've probably won them over.
It's been fun listening to both when the sound worked and when it didn't.
Yeah, well, Mike, I really want to have a real interview sometime.
That's fine. We can
I'd
do
love
that.
To have
That's,
you back on. Yeah. How about, when's the season finale? A few weeks?
July 6th.
Now, we'll have you on before that. We'll do another
All
one.
Right.
We'll poke the hell out of it.
We got three more Wednesdays is the way it works. So, yes.
Okay.
22nd, they, 29th, and the 6th.
So they added two episodes then, because you were only supposed to do 10 originally, right?
We did 10 the first season, but we were always supposed to do 12 the second. So
oh, you were always 12? Okay. Hey, Bruce, do you got anything else for Mike?
Oh, I learned about the music on the show because I love it. I mean, do you have problems with the music budget? How do you guys afford? You know, the Beach Boys, you got Hair on there, you got Argent last week. I mean, it's amazing stuff.
Agreed.
No, it's expensive. It's expensive. I'm in the coast queue, they just said.
The coast?
Are we still there?
Yeah, I'm here, Mike. Yeah. I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. We just try to buy, use our money wisely. We have definitely a generous music budget, and we have a great music supervisor, Gary Kalmar, who helps us find the songs and everything. But like that one, Hold Your Head Up, honestly, we've had that
awesome.
As an idea for that type of scene, I think before we even started the series. We had, like, I would come into the room and go, we got to do a softball show at some point. And, you know, the rival dealerships, it's got to happen. And we never quite we didn't build up enough story about the other dealership until now to have that happen. And also the other storylines in this particular episode seem to dovetail perfectly for this story to work. I mean, I have to say Tucker, Collie, and Edomar did a fantastic job of organizing and writing that all that. There was tons of stuff going on. Obviously, outside of the softball game.
Well, it's got to be hectic filming that. It's got to be hectic. It's got to be hectic filming a softball game.
It was, but David Boyd, who's our go-to director, was amazing, and he did it. It was as chaotic as it gets. But he came up. You know, that everybody loves that thing where the kid is blowing the train whistle when Owen's rounding third, coming home. And that was not in the script. That was David Boyd's like, you know what, I want to film this, and it'll be funny. And, you know, we thought it sounded weird. And when we saw it, it was just fantastic.
I don't want to ruin the episode because I still have people I got to show it to. But the end with Ivor is hilarious. The that's hilarious. And when Scott Bakula's girlfriend drives onto the field, I was dying. Oh, my God, was I laughing my ass off. But I did have
that was second base.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
That's true. I had a question about the music, too. More of a pitch. I played it at the beginning of the show, and I do think Steve Winwood's Can't Find My Way Home would be great on that show. I will loan you $20, Mike Royce, to put it on the show. It'll go towards your music budget, $20.
I appreciate it. I will send you a receipt for one jillionth of the cost of that song.
Well, why don't you get someone to, like, remake it then? They always do that. Somebody not so good.
You know, that's true. I tell you, we actually tried to do that with the Beach Boys song.
Oh, yeah.
We thought it would work, and the truth was a guy did a great version for us. Actually, one of my favorite artists ever, Matthew Sweet, we hired to remake.
He's good.
We hired him to do a remake of the Beach Boys song, and it was fantastic. But the problem was it didn't sound – the whole thing's based on kind of a – the whole title sequence is based on kind of a nostalgia thing.
Right.
And it just didn't seem right without the actual song. It seemed like it was fighting it. So through no fault of his, we just decided – and TNT was generous enough to give us the money for the Beach Boys song.
Now, did you guys want Matthew Sweet because he did that great cover with Darius Rucker of Sail on Sailor?
Oh, I should have waited until you were done.
Is there another great cover that I'm missing on? Sail on Sailor, he does a cover of with Darius Rucker. It's fantastic.
Well, he just does. He has two albums out with Susanna Hoffs that are covers, and they're all fantastic.
Oh, that's great.
Just, he's just one of my favorite, musicians
well,
ever.
I suggest you YouTube Sail on Sailor with him and Darius Rucker then. It's good.
All right, cool.
It's good. It's really good. They did the song big time justice. Anything else? Anything else? Mikey, you got any more questions or
No, I'm
I don't.
Mike Royce too. Mike Royce, do you got any more questions since you're interviewing me? Big
well,
stuff.
Yeah. By the way, if you have fart joke aficionados, which
yes.
I feel like you do.
Yes, we do.
I don't want to overstate this, but we do have a show about getting a colonoscopy. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, you do.
There are jokes in there that they will enjoy. It's not the whole episode. You know, if you don't enjoy that sort of thing, you won't be put off by them. But I think we have a both ways.
I had an enema 10 years ago. I know what it's like. There's a lot of wet farts going on.
It's a little
it brainwashed him.
Yeah. They did stick a camera in me. Wait, maybe I was abducted or something. I don't know now. Maybe I'm like Sammy Hagar and I were abducted together by aliens.
No one else
knows Sammy Hagar claims he's abducted by aliens, so everyone thinks that's
a
weird reference now.
I knew that.
Oh, yeah. You just think it's not funny. You just think it's too real.
No, it's not that. No, listen, jokes about Sammy Hagar, that's where I draw the line.
So, Mike, you're headed to the Louis premiere tonight, right?
I am. It's the L.A. I think they have one in New York already, but yes, it's the L.A. one. Wilfred and Louis, the premiere.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You and all the celebrities are going to hang out. That's nice. You know who I'm hanging with?
That has to be a mutual thing where they want to hang out with me, and I don't think that's going to be the relationship, but
well,
I will be there.
All I know is your company may be a little more successful and better than mine the rest of the night.
what are you trying to say?
Oh, you know what I'm trying to say.
We're just going from the pinky ring demographic to the fart joke demographic.
And let's continue to the dick joke demographic. We're actually going to talk politics tonight.
Oh, excellent.
And we're going to talk about my boy Rick Perry tonight, who I'm not a fan of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Mike Royce, next time you're on the show, you should do – we're starting a new segment tonight called Dear Les, and they're my personal emails to Les Moonves. And
I'm going to preemptively say I don't think I can be on that segment.
Okay.
Mike, it's not mean. We just tonight's will be very funny. We just sit around the table is what's going to happen, and people try to help me out writing an email to Les Moonves.
Right.
So he will do my pilot.
We are going to improvise a live letter that we will really email.
Yeah, he needs to do my pilot one day. So I gotta get in the door with Les first. So I'm gonna write him nice emails.
Yeah, I was gonna say I think the only thing I want to contribute to that is dear Les. You look amazing. Have you lost weight?
Perfect.
Your friend Mike Royce.
Okay, I'm adding that. Mike Royce says you look great, Les. That's going to be good. I'm looking for it. This is going to be
positive. You want to go positive with that?
Oh, no, they're all going to be
positive. This isn't going to be mean.
No.
We're not
going to. No, we're only mean to politicians on this show.
We make it hard enough on ourselves.
And each other, right. Yeah. But we're never mean to people with money, Mike.
No.
No, but this is going to be like our thank you notes. This is going to be our thank you notes. We're going to write letters to Les Moonves.
All right, well, I do have to go because otherwise my dog is going to
You don't want your dog
to be
in the house. No, you don't want your dog
to
be in the
house.
It happens all the time here. I'll hit you up, Mike, and hopefully have you on before the season finale, and we'll have an audio clear interview.
Excellent. Excellent. It was very enjoyable. Thank you for having me.
Great, Mike. We love you.
Thank you, Mike.
Bruce, do you have anything for Dear Les?
Wow. Say nice things about the talk. Say nice things about Julie Chen.
I know. I was going to write an email that says, Dear Les, I got drunk and watched an episode of The Talk this week. But I think Les may not like the end of the email. It's not my demographic, The Talk.
Yeah.
Not my demographic.
Yeah.
I just don't get that show, Bruce, because didn't it start out as mothers having on people who have kids, and then all of a sudden they got, like, Jerry O'Connell on, and, like, I'm like,
yeah.
Jerry O'Connell?
They don't know what they're doing on that show. It's a train wreck. But, it's Les's wife, so it's still on the air.
That is not going in the email.
No, Bruce, shame on you.
Hey, I just got to throw, what the hell happened to Jerry O'Connell? He had sliders, and then...
He did that, what's the name of Defenders? Which got canceled.
He's a show killer. That guy's a show killer.
How'd you feel about Defenders, Bruce?
Oh, God, him and Belushi together? Forget about it.
Yeah.
I could avoid them both at once. It was convenient because I could shun them both at the same time.
I haven't watched something he was in since 2008, a terrible movie called Tomcats.
Now, wait just a second. Is Bruce saying he didn't watch According to Jim?
I did not watch According to Jim.
That's Len Kanata's.
Don't get me started on Jim Belushi. Come on.
Then you're going to...
I get you started on Jim Belushi, but we'll run out of showtime.
The next thing you're going to say, you don't watch Yes, Dear, either.
Oh.
You know what someone told me once that was in the business? And I go, how do I get my pilot made? And this was years ago. Years ago. I've been working for so long. And they said to me, the reason Yes, Dear is on the air is because there was nothing else better to put on. Isn't that sad?
Well, you know, at least they're trying to do what the best they could do with what they got.
I do like Mike O'Malley a little bit.
Mike O'Malley, yeah.
Mind
yeah.
him.
He's redeemed himself since then.
Yeah, yeah, by not working.
Well, it works.
Glee or whatever. I don't watch Glee, Bruce. I can't do it.
Neither do I. No.
I don't either, but he got an Emmy nomination for it. I mean, you know, you got to give him credit.
Oh, good for him. That's me. Good. Yeah. He didn't get an Emmy nomination for Global Guts? No? What?
Oh, that's deep.
Do you have it?
That's good. That's deep vault Nickelodeon
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Oh, yeah.
Now, oh, that was a great
Now,
one.
Bruce, did you ever cheer or jeer like Double Dare?
Double Dare. Super
Legends?
Sloppy
yeah,
Double Dare.
Yeah.
I did not, no.
Are you a Mark Summers fan, Bruce?
I'm too old for that stuff.
Maybe I'm fat and I love food.
Oh, here we go.
Unwrapped was the show that made me love the Food Network, okay? And because of that, I love Murphy.
The fact that you didn't already love it because of the original...
That's a lie. During Double Dare, when the kids slide into the ice cream...
Yeah.
This guy's like, this is my favorite show. They slide into the ice cream sundae.
I was like 8 years old, but it moved a little.
Yeah, you wanted to be on Double Dare so bad, you fat...
You wanted to take the physical challenge.
He's the only one that opened his mouth when slime comes down
from
the
ceiling. You know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm going to be honest here. I always wanted to find out what slime...
He walked into a TV studio and said, I don't know, and looked up.
Who says I want to taste slime?
Well, if they're dumping it on everybody, it can't taste bad.
You're the only one that got a boner in Ghostbusters when Slimer would show up.
But like, you tasted like no one wanted to know.
Hey. Slimer's
oh,
eating.
Oh, this show's a train
this
wreck.
This is before people knew about partially hydrogenated soybean oil and high fructose corn syrup.
Well, I'm just throwing this out there, but I gotta say, Slimer's eating habits make me envious.
The best was Mike was filming a movie.
That's funny.
And they covered him in blood. And then when they came back, all of it was gone because Mike was licking up all the syrup. He's like, this is pretty good blood.
Oh man, it's like strawberry flavored Carl. Okay.
Oh, Bruce, please tell me you'll do the show again and now you're not writing it all forever.
Yeah.
No, I will, but I gotta go put my daughter to bed now, so I'm going to sign off for tonight.
By the way, happy Father's Day yesterday, pal.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good job. Good kid.
Fun.
Good for you.
Love the frets.
Thank you.
We love the frets. We'll talk to you later, sir.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay. It's nice to get some Nickelodeon in with Bruce Fretz.
By the way, isn't it funny how whenever we start going off on our jokes and all that, people actually, I got something I got to be doing, guys. That's twice in one show.
Mike Royce is like, I got to let my dog out.
Oh.
You know what? Other than the audio issue, and it wasn't really an interview, it was kind of fun.
No, it was a lot of fun, and
it's nice having people on just joking around. I'm like exhausted.
I know.
Like,
today's show so far has been like taking that shit that you take the morning after
you know
you go to the
cool,
steakhouse.
Though? You know what's cool though? Joking around with Mike Royce.
Yes.
Like you're joking around with someone you have no business even talking to, telling like dick and fart jokes.
But he was a great guy.
You have no business being in like on the same phone line with this guy, and you guys are we're busting balls, having a good time.
Well, here's the thing. I haven't seen Men of a Certain Age, and I can't say I watched a great deal of Everybody Loves Raymond. I don't watch tons of TV.
You know
how
bad my heart's hurting.
My
you live under a rock.
No. Listen, I watch probably about 7 to 10 movies a week. I go out of my way to go to the Gene Siskel Center, Facets. I go see foreign films. I go to see silent movies with the organ in the theater.
Right, hey, by the way, Pride's this weekend.
Should we trick? Should we trick Lenny into going over there?
Wait, you gonna put some cheese?
I can just see cheeseburgers
down the block.
Yeah, with a box, pull out the stick.
Yeah, you gonna pull the cheeseburger. Should we take a break or go right into Dear Less?
I think we should take a small break,
and we'll go right into Dear Less. Now, here's the question. What do we want to hear going into a small break?
Something classy.
Rock music, TV themes. What are we in the mood for? Sexy?
None of the 80s porn music.
Something to prelude a letter written to a TV executive.
Go ahead, Adam.
Rick Ross.
Len Cannata's calling.
You're back on the Matthew Aaron Show, the most Italian podcast on the web.
Len.
What's going on?
Okay, we're going to do something before you and I talk, and Mikey and everyone. We're going to talk some politics, too. But
I want to talk to myself.
What? You touch yourself? Yeah,
Lenny,
we know.
Lenny, how did you call him without your girlfriend?
Hey, you like breaking microphones? Oh, he went there. Uh-oh.
Oh, God.
It just got there.
We are not getting this shit done as long as the fucking Italian guy.
Well, we do need to get a response to this. Tell me you didn't hear Pat say that.
Oh, no, I heard it, and I'll deal with that in due time.
Oh, man. I think the next time Lenny sees you, Pat, you're just going to get a punch in the balls. He's not even going to shake your hand.
Well, there's rumors. I didn't get invited out the other night because people don't want me to meet this friend of Lenny's.
You're hardly the concern.
Oh, okay. It's the other people that were out with you?
Yeah. I had to ease them in first.
Oh, I see how it is. Okay.
I had to ease in my less important friends.
Go ahead, Lee.
Who is this person, Lenny?
And here is where we end talking about my life, what is going on, and proceed on with
Who are you, Zamboni?
I love how Lenny's integrity is protected, but not producer Caesar's.
This wasn't a girl. This was his boyfriend.
Oh, he was cute.
Let's try taking a naked picture of me because he's a fucking douchebag queer, I think. I think he wants to touch me.
Hey, you know what? All I got to say is this. Luigi told me that he met her, okay? I don't know. I know Luigi's met her, and he said that was cute.
Oh, that's nice.
She was very cute. I haven't met her either. And they were at Gibson's in Oak Brook. I mean, Luigi had very good things to say.
Oh, really?
You were informed that night that I was going to Gibson's.
I didn't get this phone call.
No, you were, because that's the night I called into the show.
Len, this has been going on that long.
Yes.
Oh, heard about.
Have anything else we need to address?
Yes, we have to do our Dear Less segment.
He's changing the subject.
Dear Less.
No, I'm glad he is, because we have to get to Dear Less. Right. Okay, so this is a
new...
If you'd listen, you asshole, just hold on a moment. Les Moonves is our new segment. On each week, we're going to email CEO of CBS, Les Moonves.
Yeah.
And this is my Dear Les for the week. So if we could start.
Let's compose this letter.
Okay, hold on. Let me pull up my email. I shouldn't give out his email. I shouldn't give out his email over the air.
No, don't do that. What do you mean, why?
Okay. Dear Les is the subject. Caesar says...
And that's all you have.
So, well, you guys are supposed to tell me write this. Dear Les.
All right.
I just want to throw this out here for Caesar, who's listening. I have no idea what it was about.
Would you stop?
They told me to say it. No, he didn't.
Yes, you did. You fucking...
All right, Dear Les!
Okay.
Les! Dear Les!
Oh, God.
I still don't know what it's about.
All right, shut up.
Okay, Dear Leslie.
Okay.
I don't know him that well, so we're going to go with Leslie.
Dear Leslie, yeah. Okay.
And I capitalized L-I-E, which is probably bad, so I redid it.
Okay, Dear Leslie.
Dear Les.
First of all,
hello from the Matthew Aaron Show.
Hello from the Matthew Aaron Show. Tonight's guest, Mike Royce, says hi. You look great. And have you lost weight?
Yes. Tonight's guest, Mike Royce.
I thought it was Rick Barry tonight.
We'll get to Rick Barry.
Yeah. No. Oh, my God. Tonight's guest, Mike Royce, says hello. And says you look great.
Yeah, you look great. We can't say, because we don't know you.
We can't say that's accurate. No, not that's accurate, because I'm sure it is.
Well, it is, but I'm saying. No. Well,
I hope he listens to this as you draft the letter.
You know what? Let's not be critical at the outset.
Okay. Oh,
shit, this
no,
is
not
hard.
Critical at all.
This is hard.
Okay.
You don't know how to type, do you?
Les,
you're slow.
The Matthew Aaron Show has recently read that you made a lot of money last year. We will leave out specific because that's your business. But may I make a recommendation, Les?
Can I call you Les?
Can I call you Les? You should. Why do I hear him? Him.
He's got his turn signal on.
Oh, he's got turn signal on.
Oh, like the grandfather clock in the back.
You should, Les.
This evening on 60 Seconds.
That's actually two sometime. We'll do that next week. Yeah. But we need some nice, like, piano music.
What?
You should check out. Oh, no, wait. Have you? Have checked out Chili's.
Stop.
Rumor is it's the new golf course. If you want to steal any deals left,
have your people call our person.
Have your people call your one person, and we'll meet you at Chili's and have fajitas.
Bring the money in a fucking bag. No,
on,
no, don't.
On you. On Les, should I say on you with the fajitas or on us?
On us.
On us.
60-40, you.
Chips salsa on you. Thank you, Les, for reading this week's email. We hope to see you at Chili's in your future.
Is Chili's his favorite restaurant?
No.
No, I don't think he's ever been there. P.S., you should really go, if you haven't, Julie and you would love the margaritas. Best of luck on wife's program, says one day I hope to be pregnant and be on the show. God bless Les.
Don't forget to check out the Matthew Aaron Show.
Don't forget to check out the Matthew Aaron Show
on
my hilarious pilot, which you may request at any time, and best read at the bar at Chili's.
Did we get a sponsorship from Chili's?
No, but you get a good vibe reading it at Chili's.
Yeah, Chili's is, you know.
And try the queso dip. You won't regret.
Oh, we're talking about Chili's, not Jilly's.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Matthew Aaron and the Matthew Aaron Show.
Team. Cast.
Aaron Show. Cast. www.thematthewaronshow.com. Thank you, Les. So that is our email to Les Moonves for the week.
Okay.
Go to Chili's. And it is sent.
You do get a better vibe composing letters and going over new screenplays for shows at Chili's than I imagine you would at Applebee's, Fridays, or Chevy's.
What is it with Chili's?
I don't look. Chili's is a new golf course, Mikey. I told you that like five times in the email.
What was the point of this letter?
Well, every week I'm going to write Les Moonves a letter. It's called Dear Les.
A silly, frivolous letter.
Well, no one says.
And why?
Because it means a lot to me. Because he's the CEO of the biggest network on the planet,
CBS.
And you think he checks his own email?
It's his personal email that I got from somebody.
Does he know you, who you are or why you have it?
No fucking
who
clue.
Who doesn't know who Matt is,
yeah,
by the way?
Yeah,
first of all.
You know he was in TV Guide.
Yes, I was in
TV Guide. And did Mike Royce advise this? Or?
Oh, Mike Royce has nothing to do with this. He just said Les is looking good.
Yeah.
Which he is.
He told us to mention, that in the letter, which we did.
Oh, was this an idea of Caesar or someone else?
No, this is my idea. I'm sending Les an email every week. This week I told him to go to Chili's, have a margarita, enjoy.
I forgot to tell him that I love 60 Minutes. We'll do that next week.
Oh, next week we'll write our 60 Minutes letter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's good.
That was why I had the turn signal on.
Hey, Lenny, I'm trying to get Les Moonves to take his $60 million he makes a year and go have a fucking buffalo chicken sandwich at Chili's.
And some jalapeno.
To eat like the common man.
You know, I mean,
right. Eat like the common man. Read my pilot. Enjoy a margarita with Julie.
I'm hungry.
And now Turzo's hungry. That fat fuck.
Lenny, are you hungry?
I can eat, but I'm no. What, did you hear about our little thing from last week, Mike?
No. What happened?
Oh, it's the weight loss challenge with me, you, and Matt.
Oh fuck.
Oh
well,
yes.
Well, me and you are gonna win because we could lose a Matt.
No. It's going to be based on percentage of body weight loss.
Oh, you know what? I you remember when I did the big weight loss thing? If I would have did the thing at Export, I would have won $10,000. It was. I'm pissed off. I was thinking about.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're under some false pretense. They actually have a prize. No, there is no prize at the end of this fucking
well,
thing.
You know what I was doing? I was thinking about fattening back up and then trying to get on Biggest Loser.
Oh, well, we should seek a sponsorship right now.
Fatten back up?
Yeah, fatten back up? Yeah, Lee nailed that one. I had Red Bull in my mouth. I almost spit it everywhere.
Did you used to be like fat Albert fat, like crazy? Like what?
Wait. Look at I'm a big
wait,
guy. I mean, I'm fat.
Is 380 pounds not crazy fat?
Hold on.
Apparently not.
You guys got to hear this. I go in to get my back surgery.
Oh, no.
Okay?
How many beds they have?
So they give me on this giant scale.
I just heard what Matt said.
Hold on. You guys got to hear this. You got to hear this. So I go in there, and they got to weigh me, right? So they give me on the scale that's obviously for large people. And I get in, and it's at 171.2. My dad immediately goes, this scale's fucking broken. There's no,
your dad said put the other half on.
He goes, this scale's broken. There's no way that my son weighs 171. I go, Dad, that's a kilogram. Not.
Oh, my God.
So the doctor,
you fatty McGee.
So the doctor's just kind of, all right. So we get over. So right before the anesthesiologist puts me on, I go, guys, you know, for the sake of, you know, your
how
nurse,
much gas did it take?
For
well,
for,
I just want to know.
Injections now.
I
Hold
just
want
to know, do you got to fly in the doctors from Jurassic Park or...
I look at the doctor's staff, and I go, and honestly, God, I look at the anesthesiologist and go, hey, for the sake of your nursing staff, before you knock me out, do you want me to roll on my stomach? And he starts laughing. But he apparently got it.
They were probably wondering where you're going to roll.
They had a Heister forklift back there.
You were great, by the way, in the original Jurassic Park where they're working on you and you had the big pile of poop and Laura Dern.
Yeah.
I was feeling for you. You ate those berries. I was feeling for you.
I didn't like when you froze Han Solo, though.
Oh, Pizza the Hut.
Me and the Greek are going to have some issues here, okay?
Calling him a Triceratops, okay, but Jabba the Hutt,
crossed the damn line! Listen,
I am no Jabba the Hutt, the motherfucker.
We are really glad that everything went okay with that surgery okay.
That's true.
Seriously.
Now, actually, you know what? I do have a question for Lenny, though. You know, I only took a week off work, and I've been pounding it pretty hard. I went out and I went out Saturday night, got covered by a woman's excrement, and had a great time. But what I'm saying, I'm getting some pain in there.
Wait, you got shit on?
No.
Wait.
I was squirted on. But the point is...
That you were pissed on.
Oh, no, were you sharted on?
Look, you guys are getting the idea, but wrong thing. Look,
where the fuck were you?
It's a long story. I'll tell you when I see it. You should see the clothes I had on.
Supposedly, it's supposed to increase the orgasm.
hey, you remember what I told you about? Ropes? Maybe she was taking ropes. But,
So, anyway, go on.
Yeah, no, please continue. No, we only have...
And how do you start off a question to me talking about getting shit on?
Yeah, you know, no.
I didn't get shit on.
I like that wasn't the focus of the point.
We only got politics and stuff to get to. More about some dude jizzing all over you, Mike. Continue.
So, let's just, anyway, back to my point. Lenny, I know you took it. Do you have any pain at all? I mean, when they were...
Wait, you know Lenny took what? Took it in where?
What?
took it in the
back. I'm trying to ask a serious question. My back's killing me the last
time. Oh, okay. Ask your serious question. Oh, put some ice cream on it.
I mean, my back hurts.
You take
I'm
a bowl
getting the pains
ice cream,
down my legs
sure
again.
The,
I just, you know.
You rub the vanilla right on your back. That's what you do. Yeah. I'll put some whipped cream on the end of it. Yeah, it'll look good.
Right,
by the way, asshole. No. By the way, Mikey Turzo sends me a picture after his surgery. The only two people that get this picture are me and Len, I guess. You see your ass crack in that picture. First of all, this disgusting, like the Mexicans down in Mexico did your back. It looks like you got an alien that popped out and they sewed you up. Then, do you want some flowers?
And some health care in this country.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
I see this. I saw this ass crack, and I'm like, they needed to sew that up, too.
Just there need to be less holes. Just less holes.
Mikey, don't choke. He's dying.
Oh, God. Flowers in
he's
the face.
He's beat red.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's the funny shit I've heard a long time.
Oh, shit. You could have put a dozen roses down there.
You know what? I actually asked the doctor afterwards. I go, buddy, did you see my fucking ass? Why did you make my crack longer? I'm screwed. Oh, I'm going to have permanent plumber's crack now.
Oh.
Oh, boy. Well, seriously, once again, we're glad everything turned out okay.
So far,
but finish,
so good.
By the way, finish what you were going to say.
No, Len, I just wanted to know, after you were off all the drugs they gave you and the anti-inflammatories, if you had any pain, because I'm actually concerned because I didn't rest quite as much as I wanted if I messed my back up again or something.
You know what? It's hard to say if you did, but because the disc is removed, but it is possible it still slipped the disc and impinged the nerve. You should have took the full 2 weeks of staying at home, and you should have I didn't do any really physical – not that I do any physical activity now, but I did no physical activity for about 4 weeks, 5 weeks.
Yeah, all right. Well,
this guy was out eating chicken wings the next day over at Tilted Kilt.
Well, that's
– Yeah, 3 days later, he's fucking telling us to go to the movies. I'm like, just stay at home and fucking relax. Because, I mean, God forbid you're going to get a car accident or something, you go fuck everything up.
Yeah.
And then that $40,000-$50,000 that the surgery costs down the fucking drain.
I like how you're being yelled at.
Wait, that surgery cost me how much?
$40,000-$50,000. I think mine was $70,000.
I might have to negotiate that.
No, yeah, because you went to Mexico.
Yeah, you usually do negotiations before they cut you, and actually there is no negotiations in medical. That's practice.
Where do you go that there's negotiations, Mikey?
Well, insurance companies can negotiate.
Oh, Mexico, that's where he fucking goes.
Yeah.
Actually, my doctor was talking.
By the way, you got one less kidney, just so you know.
Is that why? Would that
yeah, Mexico called. They got your other kidney.
Yeah.
They said thanks.
I seem to be missing 3 pints of blood.
They said they're going to use that kidney if any of their elephants lose one. So, can we talk politics finally?
Yes, let's talk politics.
All right, before we get to that...
now we're going to get bottom drawer.
No, but did everyone see that Ryan Dunn thing today?
Yeah.
I didn't. I didn't know.
All right, I want to make a quick comment about this. The whole internet world is crying because this guy from Jackass gets drunk, drives off a fucking road, and crashes and dies, okay? Here's the deal. And I mean all the younger people on Facebook. Yeah, kill the passenger, too. All the younger people on Facebook are up in arms about this. My Marine buddy said it best, though, Kenny. He said it best. The whole world stops because the guy that shoved the Hot Wheel up his ass in the Jackass movie dies. Now, that's one thing. But the other thing is, I have no pity. You drive drunk and you die. That's on you. I have no pity, and I'm just happy you didn't kill someone sober.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, wait a minute. Who up in arms? Like, what's the up in like?
People, oh, you want me to?
Who
was
there?
Who was there
to be mad at? The guy's dead.
They started a fan page. Oh, they're mad at me because I posted on Facebook that I didn't care, and you know it's his own fault and no pity for me.
Well, it is his own. I mean, let's do it this way though. If he was drunk, if actually intoxicated,
they have many, many witnesses who saw him drinking.
My question is, what was he doing driving near bridges?
I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. But I mean, you go 200 miles in a Porsche. I don't know if you know where you are. You know? Like how fast you're going.
One minute you're in Carbondale.
Right. I could make it to Darien in 2 minutes going 200 miles per hour.
He was in a Porsche?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, those Jackass guys make a lot of money for shoving Hot Wheels up their ass. Okay. I want to get to Rick Perry, but first I got to play this clip from Bill Maher's show earlier in the week. We're going to give Bill Maher a plug. But this was his final 5 minutes on the show where he talks about Rick Perry. And then Lenny.
Question before we start that.
What's up?
Who's on the show Thursday?
Michael Ian Black.
Michael Ian Black from Stella.
Why did I keep thinking someone named Richard Perry was going to be on the show?
Because I told you we're going to be talking Richard Perry tonight, not talking to Richard Perry.
I'll throw these questions out.
Pointed out, I said not Steve Perry.
Yeah.
So here's Rick Perry. Here's Bill Maher on Rick Perry. Rick Perry is on the bubble, but he's going to run for the GOP. And I want to get Lenny's thoughts and our thoughts after we listen to this.
We are
going to
mess with Texas tonight.
So, Lenny, listen to this so you know something about Rick Perry.
And finally, new rule, if you think the Republican presidential candidates can't possibly get any lamer, then you haven't met the new Republican flavor of the month, Rick Perry. If you're not familiar with Rick, he took over as governor of Texas from George W. Bush, who's now referred to as the smart one. Rick carries a gun even when he's jogging. He wears cowboy boots with a suit, and the boots say, "Come and take it," which sounds kind of gay to me. And he threw such a tantrum when Obama won, he actually talked about Texas seceding from the Union, because that's what America needs, a president of the United States who's not really sold on the whole United States. Now, last week, Rick Perry announced that he had rented out a 70,000-seat football stadium in Houston for something called the Response, which sounds like a home pregnancy test, but actually is, to quote the governor, a Christian prayer service to provide spiritual solutions to the many challenges we face as a nation, or as stadium employees are calling it, batshit day. I guess the idea is to get together in a big group and pray all at once. That way the signal is stronger and God doesn't lose you when he's going through a canyon. But here on Planet Reality, may I point out that there is no such thing as spiritual solutions to national problems. If that's where we are as a country, if our official government policy is, yeehaw, Jesus, take the wheel, then we're dead already. On his Jesus Palooza website, Perry writes, "There is hope for America. It lies in heaven, and we will find it on our knees." He also says, "Some problems are beyond our power to solve." What? I thought we were the can-do people. And if Perry thinks only God can solve our problems, why is he even in government? Why doesn't he just stay at home and light a bunch of candles like Sissy SpaceX mom and Gary? Here's an opposing view. Not only are our problems not beyond our power to solve, they're actually fairly easy to solve. You have a giant budget deficit, like Perry has in Texas. Raise taxes. Federal tax revenues haven't been this low since 1950. And that, plus two wars and a recession, are the reason we have a huge deficit. It's not because God's angry over the gay kissing on Glee. It doesn't require prayer to solve it. It requires a calculator. Politicians like to say, "We need new ideas." Bullshit. New ideas is just a secular version of spiritual solutions, something that's going to magically fix everything. What new idea is going to solve our health care crisis? A magic pill that makes obese children crap out gold bricks? We don't need new ideas. We need the balls to implement the ideas we already know work. Cut corporate welfare. slash the defense budget, tax the rich, support the strong unions that created a middle class in the first place. Build infrastructure and take the profit out of health care. By the way, Rick Perry isn't just talking when he says spiritual solutions. Back in April, faced with a devastating drought, Rick did what any solutions-oriented 21st century civil servant would do. He proclaimed a day of prayer for rain because we're ancient Mayans now. Here's what Texas looked like in April with the drought in red. And here's the Eden it is today. In the words of Sister Mary Ignatius, God answers all your prayers. And sometimes the answer is no.
Okay, so Lenny, talk to me.
All right. All right. Well, let's set up some type of structure for this conversation. First, we're going to have to address Texas. Then we're going to have to address religious. First, let's start with Texas. There's obviously a big difference between rural Texas and urban Texas. There's a difference between fucking Dallas and then to El Paso. There's a profound difference. You know, your urban center is obviously more liberal, more sane-minded than would be the rural gun-toters. Also, I don't think the governor of Texas is the he's the chief executive of the state, but he doesn't execute the same type of power that would our governor. It's actually born on the lieutenant governor. The governor previous to Bush, I believe, was a Democrat. It was some lady who was highly critical of George Bush. And Texas, they got this mentality. But a lot of these southern states, you have to understand, a lot of northerners have been moving down to these southern states. These southern states are once again eventually going to come into play.
Which is
in the next 10, 15 years, I could see Texas going Democrat again. Just because you have so many northerners moving down in these warmer climates, and they're more acclimated to a Democratic, to more progressive ideas.
You know,
I mean, Texas is just fucked. All right, I mean, they're the good people down there, but just like there's a difference between Chicago metro area and downstate, such is the same with Texas. Just they got more land, so more nut jobs to live in it.
Well, in every state, in every red state, there are just pockets of areas where people are very progressive-minded and forward-thinking and liberal.
Yep.
And the same thing is true of conservative blue states. And in the South, in places like Texas, all that used to be it was solidly Democratic.
Well, look at Illinois.
It was called the South, which was solidly Democratic.
Yeah,
now
it's
solidly
Democratic.
Republican, and it used to be so much more libertarian, but it's like... It is a pendulum.
Well, you have to understand that it used to be called the Democratic South.
Right.
They supported slavery. The Republicans are the ones that said this is not right.
Right.
You know, at one point, the Republicans were the ones that were taking the country in a different direction.
That's true.
That's absolutely true.
Right. And that was called the Civil War. But there's been obviously a transcending of party.
Well,
the parties have obviously switched some ideologies.
Well, I don't think either one of the parties are what they were, you know, in 1865, regardless, though.
No.
Well, yeah, the country's changed quite a bit. But, Len, we were talking last week about how jobs, 38% up in Texas a few years ago, they were 90% up. I did some research, and this is what I found. You are correct about people moving down there. That's one thing. Another thing is they have deregulated a lot of the qualifications you need to get a job in a lot of the areas. There's a lot of deregulation going on because a lot of these people are uneducated, unfortunately. The education is pretty bad in Texas. They're uneducated, and they got to deregulate a lot of the qualifications for these jobs so people can get jobs. And that's how there's a lot of people in Texas in poverty, but not jobless.
You know what?
Right. What is the median income of these newly created jobs? You know, yeah, I could create a bunch of jobs, but if they're part-time or they're fucking, you know, $14,000, $15,000 a year, this is hardly something you could sustain a family on. Therefore, it's a bullshit statistic.
No,
I mean, numbers could be fudged any way they want. But now bouncing off Texas too, you know, the Republican Party, especially it seems these right wing nut jobs are so intent on bringing religion into all of these fucking debates.
Right.
You know, that's how you control the weak minded by bringing religion. It's disgusting, and I myself am a devout Catholic, but I know where to separate my politics
from my religion, and I don't bring my religion in. That's like bringing in my dick's bigger than yours, so I'm a better person than you. No, absolutely not. You could be a horrible fucking lay and have a huge dick.
Well,
you don't know how to use it.
And those people, that's to speak to Mark's point, that's what he's going off against. It's just that certain people are just not living in reality, and those people have some power. Neither, by the way, are ultra-far-left people who are really not living in reality as well.
They're the worst. They're horrible. They're an embarrassment to my party.
Which he isn't, by the way. He's a fairly conservative liberal, but what were you going to say, Terzo?
Lenny, you wouldn't be talking about Nancy Pelosi, would you?
Now wait. Mikey, though, respond to what you were saying during Bill Maher's thing.
Here's my thing. If God forbid for Bill Maher's life, if he was talking about Muslims that way, he'd be fucking dead right now.
He has talked about Muslims.
Here's my point. If you have somebody in politics, and I understand the idea behind separation of church and state.
Yeah.
But if you have somebody who's a devout Christian and they want to do those kinds of things, I don't think... You know, having that, like when he was talking about the big thing in the stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, unless he's talking about doing this at debates and how it's going to help him win.
Can I tell you something, though? That stadium thing was also an anti-gay rally. They sent out many anti-gay messages and themes at that rally. It's all a religion thing down there.
I guess here's my thing. Bill Maher... intelligent person, funny, obviously, not a big fan of this Perry guy, but I don't think you want to make fun of Perry, that's fine, but starting to make fun of a specific religion, that always crosses that line a little bit.
This is what people always say. Why can't you, because I got a lot of this myself, people say, stop attacking, why don't you attack and make fun of our ideas instead of us as people? Okay, fine, but sometimes you are the composite of your ideas, are you not?
Totally. Absolutely. Go ahead.
And let's face it, some of these right-wing Christians are anti-Catholic, too. So whenever they bunch Christians into a group, Christianity runs a very large spectrum.
Oh, I know Christians think we're going to hell for being Catholic.
Absolutely.
I do.
You know, there is a reason why the Protestants came here. The Catholics,
and they got no love for the Catholics, some of the right-wing conservative Christians. They have no love for the Catholics.
No,
if they deem their Christianity an accepting and loving religion, only if you love the same things that they do, and you do what they tell you. That's not what Catholicism is about anymore, and I'm happy, and that's why I'm still a member.
Hey, let me ask you this, Lane, to kind of get off the religion topic here for a moment. Okay, Rick Perry, how can you run for president of the United States when you want Texas to secede from America?
Well,
do you remember when that all came out?
First of all,
very recently.
First of all, last year.
It was a couple states, too.
Yeah.
Because of health care and that whole Tea Party thing. They want to secede from the Union. You know, we fought a civil war over that.
Don't want to be a part of America. And I can understand, he's running to change it so it's something he wants to be a part of. But if you don't want to be a part of America, how do you have the gall to run for president of the United States?
Right. I mean, hey, you get frustrated with a lot of things your country does. That's natural. But our system's developed so you take initiative and you try and change something.
Right.
And no, I'm not using change in the way that fucking Obama used it. Because, no, that all that whole change bullshit, I never bought into that. I bought into the ideas, not into the political rhetoric. But you have to take the initiative and you have to attempt to change something. If you just want to say, fuck this, I'm done, I'm moving. Every time these motherfuckers say I'm moving to Canada because of the healthcare thing, I'm like, you're not really making a change because they have free healthcare up there. So what's the point?
You have on both sides. How about all the people who are talking about, if Bush gets reelected, I'm moving to Canada? You had those people, too.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean.
It was ridiculous because it's like, what are you doing? You just buy your time and you wait.
First of all, nobody did that.
Yeah, Alec Baldwin definitely didn't, and he was going to, damn it.
Also, keep in mind that Rick Perry is going to be in the race running next to the other, who is it?
Michelle Bachmann,
Newt
Mitt
Gingrich,
Romney.
Rick Santorum.
Oh, no, Newt Gingrich is
Mitt,
done.
Mitt Romney.
Out. Newt may be in,
Ron
but
Paul.
He's out.
Actually, Newt was actually a very intelligent guy. He did a lot.
No.
If you, and Lenny, you may know this, but during the Bill Clinton years, if you actually go back and research him, Newt Gingrich worked with Clinton on a lot of that
stuff.
Yes,
he did.
There's a time. I do need a timeout, though.
That's true.
Newt, overall, not so intelligent.
I Have you read any?
He had intelligent ideas.
Have you read any of his books?
No,
but what you're getting at, Mike, I understand what you're saying. At the same time, I would have preferred the McCain of 2000 compared to the McCain of 2004.
Yeah, absolutely. McCain 2004 was senile and gone.
Yeah.
I mean, the party really took control of him. The whole putting Sarah Palin on the ticket, that tanked him completely. Yeah. That was the nail in the coffin. After that, done.
You know, since you were in politics, I think this is something that we should talk about.
What's in politics?
Because whether Republican or Democrat, I know a lot of people that feel that the two-party system has gotten – it just doesn't work quite as well as it should, and there's too much control. Because if you're an actual candidate and you want to join one of these parties, all of a sudden you become like a puppet of the people who run these parties.
Well, it's really one party, essentially, different variations on a single – the field moving so much further to the right of what they used to consider the center. Most liberal president in 50 years has been Nixon, way to the left of anything proposed today.
It's like the JFK, if he was today, probably be a Republican.
Right. By the way, the show is hilarious when we talk politics, isn't it?
It's good to do this.
Yes, it is.
I do. I think it's good.
Bouncing off what Matt just said, it's good to do this, and this is exactly the point I've been making. It's become so fucking taboo to talk. But people want to say, oh, it's impolite to talk sex, money, and politics in fucking public because those are very personal things. Bullshit. Politics is meant to be fucking discussed in an open forum. That's how you get the ideas out there. That's how these ideas are properly vetted. That's the point of democracy. Bars were originally called some of the nurseries of fucking democracy. There's nothing like going to a fucking bar, taking down a few fucking beers, telling a good old fucking white political fucking lie. And there's nothing wrong with that. And the fact that it's become so taboo, that's how people get taken advantage of. When the weak-minded and those who don't want to fucking read or fucking research or just get civically involved, when they don't want to do any of that, and they sit there and just see the talking heads talk, and they grab onto a fucking idea without doing the proper research, and then that's what you have because they don't want to talk it out anymore. Because, it's taboo to talk it in a fucking bar. Bullshit. Start fucking in fucking bars again. Start rekindling that fucking fire, goddammit.
Lenny.
Hold on. I absolutely agree, Len. This is our good street politics was founded on getting together as a group and doing something. Not this backroom bullshit, let's not do it in public.
Right. And people love to
talk. Right.
Sex, money, but politics is off the table. Democrats talk about sex, Republicans talk about money.
Right, and neither of them talk about politics or what to do.
I just found out about this Anthony Weiner thing.
Yeah.
What? Do you own a television, Mike?
Well, you got to.
Can you read?
I work 62 hours a week. When I'm off work, I do one of two things. Before my back was hurt, I was either here with you guys or out at Gibson's or doing something like that. So I don't watch a lot of TV. If I had a DVR, I might. But you know, again, I think maybe I just found out about it. So.
I do want to tell our listeners real quick in 3 minutes. You're going to cut out, but we will be going into overtime, which you can download with the episode on iTunes. There'll be extra time on overtime. Download it on iTunes at our site and leave a comment or something. We got a perfect score. Don't leave us a comment so much in the first 10, 15 minutes.
No, because we already know.
Yeah. Don't hurt my reputation because of 15 minutes of junk.
Also, if you don't listen to overtime, and I'll plug it there, I'm going to be doing a show at Finn McCool's this Sunday, the 26th. Finn McCool's on Division. Okay, so check that out.
Very cool.
Okay, there we go. There's Lee's plug-a-roo. So back to a little politics talk here. This is why it's important for me. We have a lot of young listeners in the Chicago area. We do. We have a big, on a podcast scale, we have a big fan base of young listeners between the ages of 18 and 34. It is important that they get their politics from somewhere. They may not be reading newspapers anymore. They may not be interested in the Huffington Post or wherever you look online. I understand it's a liberal website, whatever. They may not watch Bill Maher. They may not watch CNN, Fox News. Whatever.
They think that they're really political enough on current events because they watch The Daily Show.
Sucking you in. Caesar just says, nobody cares about you guys talking politics.
Well, he may be right.
This is the perfect example. When people don't want to listen to politics and then they wonder why they get bamboozled and fucking have these mindless
thoughts. What did you just say? I stepped away from the headphones.
Well, no. How? No one has an interest in politics, and it's kind of like people like you and Caesar who are devoid of any fucking thought, and you come up and get bamboozled by these fantastic ideas or what your other equally ignorant fucking friends say, and then you wonder.
How are we ignorant? We just speak the truth.
See, what is that? Speak the truth. There's no compromise, isn't it?
No.
Speak the truth.
Okay. Give me your take on...
In 40 seconds...
What's a somewhat non-complex issue?
What?
What's a somewhat non-complex issue that you want to take a stance on, Pat?
An issue we want to take a stance on? Let's talk about taxes, number
you.
One.
You pick a topic. Politically,
talk about taxes.
Let's do this. No, we'll be going into overtime, people, to hear Lenny and Pat go at it.
Let's talk about.
It'll probably turn into an insult war, though.
Let's talk about your guys' change. What a change!
Change.
Yeah, what does he change? Unemployment.
He
rate
tried now. To put in a new tax plan.
Oh, no.
Your people.
No. What we have to do here is we have to figure out.
What's the unemployment
exactly
rate?
Exactly what Pat says. And Pat is just, this is not really meant to be a long, drawn-out debate. Just pick one thing and run with it and just say your take on it, Pat, before we even get back into the argument, arguing it.
What's the unemployment rate? That's all I'm asking you.
Did you just ask about the unemployment rate or we talked about taxes?
Okay, wait, Lenny, what's Pat's solution for the unemployment rate? Go ahead, Pat.
No,
what's your solution?
I want to know what the unemployment rate is first, Lenny.
Well, I want to know what your solution is. That's...
Wait. If you don't see anything until we do this.
We're in overtime.
Supposedly it fell from 10% to 9%.
It sure did.
But a lot of people believe that the numbers are being lied about, and it's actually closer to 20% because they're underreporting. That's just the people that they know about. You're not even taking into account people who are underemployed and not gainfully employed, which is the vast majority.
I think that very, very well true. I know a lot of people who had jobs making $100,000 a year,
right,
and now they have jobs making
$60,000. This is important. This isn't just to talk crap. Where's Pat, though? We need Pat to talk
Pat
about
Pat just went
too.
To the bathroom.
Hey,
when
hold
I...
on.
Pat, you need to take care of your friend, brother.
He had too much beef today. Hold on.
So now Caesar's complaining more about us talking politics. He doesn't think it's entertaining or funny, and that the show sucks when we talk politics.
Well, he may be right. We'll find out.
Pat's pissing pure au jus.
Listen right now. Listen right now, and I've said this from day one. I told Lenny this. Lenny and I have talked about it a million times. We're going to talk politics on this show. We barely talk about it enough as it is. And we're not going to talk about it all the time.
That's fine. We don't have to talk about it all
the
time.
What's wrong about talking about it, though?
No, I agree.
Let's just be real.
No, listen, you dedicate 10 minutes. That's the most.
Oh, well, now Caesar's mad. He said that was the worst 10 minutes in radio history.
Oh, I highly doubt that.
He said, you're not fucking 60 minutes. It's not funny or entertaining.
Caesar, I love you.
60 minutes, a show which has been on for how many years?
Yeah, for a long time.
Yeah, right.
So obviously there's some credibility in that discussion, isn't there?
It was B90 and we'll be good at this.
Yeah, right. No, but, you know, this bothers me. God, I wish Caesar was here. Everything with him. FCC, what did I say? Fucking Caesar content. That's what it is. FCC. Fucking Caesar.
Fucking Caesar content. No, you have to admit, Caesar is a very dedicated employee, though.
Yes, he's great. That's not the point.
People are saying, like, there's a couple things in politics. Those are the things, like, all right, we had a good show, and then, oh, where did that come from?
What? A lot of people raved, by the way, about overtime last week when we talked about religion.
Well,
I heard many people.
I'll tell you something.
But Caesar's like, I didn't hear from anybody,
so
it doesn't count.
The reason those things are people go, oh, is because people are saying, don't talk about that on the show.
Well, we can't.
I think talking about those things is every bit, it's just another subject. That's
absolutely.
All. It's just another
we
subject.
Are allowed to talk about whatever we fuck want on this show.
Does the FCC actually have any regulation on Black Talk Radio right now?
Well, I don't think so.
If they did, we would have been gone a long time ago.
Are you talking about
the
actual FCC or Caesar?
Well, no, I'm not talking about Caesar. Caesar's job is trying to make sure the show goes on, and you got to respect him for that. He works very hard, and he does do a lot for the show.
Right.
I love Caesar. He works very hard. The website looks fantastic.
Actually, I did check out the website. I didn't know he was changing it. It did look pretty cool.
You know what? We should call him. Who has his fucking number?
Did he put the nude pictures of Anthony Weiner up yet?
Nude? The nude ones?
No, he kept them for his private collection.
You want? Hold on.
That's a good pun.
I'm not reading it out over the air, but
oh, I can't call him anymore. They won't let me call. I'm lucky Lenny's
still
on.
You can't call
this,
him anymore?
This is the most cathartic show we've ever done.
Look,
cathartic. That's a big word that even I don't know. Please.
Look, I mean, we might as well get this on the air. Caesar, great worker, great at what he does. But here's the deal. We talk politics.
We're doing fine.
You know what? If I lose listeners tonight because we talk politics, point proven, gotcha. But I'm going to talk politics Thursday with Mike in Black. I guarantee you the ratings are going to be up anyways.
Right. He talks.
Do you notice how we're talking the politics of talking politics right now?
You're right.
See, that's how deep we fucking get on this program.
Yeah, the show's
Look at that. We're so fucking deep. And you know what? None of us are smoking up dope right now.
No, well, speak
well,
for yourself.
Well,
Lee
showed up a little tipsy.
So one quick thing I want to bring your attention. There was a TV thing.
Bruce Brett just answered. Someone just said, do you like when we talk politics on the show? Who said that? Caesar created a post. Do you like politics? Do you like when we talk politics on the show? Bruce Brett said sometimes.
Sometimes.
He answered sometimes.
That means that means he really doesn't want to give his actual
opinion.
Well,
we've really talked politics on the show like twice.
Sometimes it could be a no. He just doesn't want to say no for the sake of saying no.
Well,
you know what we could say? We could say if politics comes up as a subject, so be it. But it doesn't have to be a dedicated subject. It just so happens that we do have an outstanding fucking douchebag starting to run for president, Rick Perry.
Hey,
so it's actually fun to poke fun at.
Exactly. And I'm going to tell you something I told Adam yesterday. This is the only show where people don't stand behind the boss. They stand in front of Caesar and fucking blow him. Someone else needs to stick up for what we're doing, and I can't believe it's only me.
Yeah,
I'm sticking
it's not
up.
Only you.
What are you talking
it
about?
It is only me.
No.
You guys are always like, oh, you know, he does a good job. Yes, he does
a good job. Now everyone's feelings are getting hurt. Everyone's going to be sucking each other's dicks in a couple hours.
Listen,
if we measure dicks, somebody's got to die.
Excluding maliciously calling out people and just insulting them that didn't deserve it, like who can't defend themselves or whatever, are there
I have given him a million opportunities.
I'm not talking about him. Just like people like that are like, do you think there are any taboo subjects?
No, not on this show.
No,
not
I agree.
On this show.
I agree.
Not on this show.
I don't mean to break this up, but I have a question for you guys.
Yeah, why don't you put your face to the mic so I can hear
you? I have a question for you guys from the Anthony Weiner thing.
Oh, fuck.
Can we go back to this yet?
Yeah, no, please.
Okay, I just want to throw this out there. So there's this guy at my
Changing
dealership.
Changing the topic because you don't want to stick up for the show, by the way. Very nice. You continue.
You know what? You want? Then fine. Fuck it. I won't talk about this then. If that's what you're thinking right now, then I won't even.
You're about 3 weeks behind on the Anthony Weiner debate.
Look, I'm not getting to that. I need help because I'm trying to figure out if there's
You're
a guy.
You're trying to figure out which picture to jerk it to?
No, I'm trying to figure out if there's this guy and my gaydar is working properly.
Okay.
So we have this guy, all these people at our dealership. There's one that I always thought was, you know, maybe a little something, but we should let it go.
A little something.
But we do this. So this one of the guys who's this internet savvy and he's like out of his mind and he needs a lot of Adderall to make be normal. So, in any event, so he has a picture of the naked pictures of Anthony Weiner, and he's showing around, and all the guys are like, don't show me, and the one that I think is gay looks at it, and he, instead of like doing the all turn away, he just stares at it and turns his head and goes, huh. For 5 seconds goes by.
This is your test of someone.
And then he just goes, oh, that's kind of gross, and walks away. He was the only guy that actually stared at the photo. Does that make him gay?
First of all, okay, all those other guys were like, ooh, gross, show that away. But let me tell you something. Every guy checks out another guy's package to compare size, velocity, volume, you know, because we're all inadequate people, hence by the cars we attempt to drive. Now, Mike, you must be rocking something big because you're driving a Kia. So you don't need to compensate.
Hey, jag off. I got my truck back, asshole.
That actually means.
Oh, then you are compensating for something.
I just heard that soundboard folder getting a little fatter.
You know what? I got to in line. You have a kid.
Do you have anything to say? Talk.
Well, no.
Well, no, I've been trying to share with you all night. Come on.
But see, we were talking about something else, and that Anthony Weiner showed his dick, and Rick Perry is a dick.
Oh, okay. You want our opinion on if this guy's gay?
I just want to know if you think he's gay. Does that Lenny obviously says that?
I've
seen that
many.
Make him
no,
gay.
I've watched enough ridiculous porn. I see a guy's dick. I'm
hold on.
Many Wieners.
I know we've all seen a lot of Wieners, and I'm sure Anthony Weiner has too. But. You know what? I just do. Can you imagine?
But see, here's the thing. He was sending them to female.
Cora the Matthew Aaron show. Yeah, checking out other people's wieners.
But can you imagine if you were at the Capitol building on a tour in D.C. and you're like, oh, folks, this is an honor. This is Congressman Wiener. We're going to get me in. If I didn't, because I never knew who he was, I would be the guy that would be like, you got to be fucking kidding me. What's his real name?
Can I make one more point, by the way?
He had a terrible childhood.
Can I make one more point? We can't talk politics. That's taboo. You know, Len, you're just cutting me out of your life lately, is what I'm seeing.
Oh, so now you're going to start crying now.
Well, I wasn't invited.
I got to deal with Patrick, now I got to deal with you now, too.
I haven't met this woman friend.
If you're just joining overtime, Rick Perry, the Matthew Aaron Show, hates you and hopes you fail in your political life.
Yes, that's a good conclusion.
By the Matthew Aaron Show, I mean Lee and Matt.
So, now, Lenny, can you get back to why I'm being cut out of your life?
Rick Perry, he loves God, but he hates you.
Oh, no, if you Google Rick Perry, you'll find out he loves more than God. He also loves a little, allegedly, Rick Perry likes a little cock goblin.
What?
If you type into Google Rick Perry, the automatic search results come out, and the first search result is Rick Perry's game.
Well, of course.
No, it's not someone starting it. This came out years ago.
Because everyone's searching for it.
There is court documentation that people that have worked with Rick Perry have called him out saying that they've hooked up.
Allegedly.
See, that's the issue. Why is it so bad? Is it so bad to be gay?
Oh, yeah. Ken Mill.
You have all these people that are closet homosexuals. Is that?
Charlie Crist in Florida.
Because now he's got to be super anti-gay to look not gay.
Right.
He was in
that. That's despicable. That's who you are. That's somebody denying who the fuck they are. Who gives a shit?
He's also married and making like $600,000 a year as a governor. And that's on his taxes, $600,000 a year, not what he's really making.
I don't think governors make that.
He does because Texas is different, Mikey. They have no term limits. It's a totally different
vote.
Doesn't
the president
only
make 300 some odd grand?
Yep, 275.
No, I think he's up there now, actually.
They're like $4.5 million. $500,000?
Whatever.
Yeah. But I don't think it really matters what the president makes, considering they have everything kind of taken care of for them.
Yeah, that's all money that doesn't have
to. Hey, I have a theory, by the way. I wanted to see if you guys agree. This is kind of a stretch, so don't give me weird looks. I know it's a stretch going into it. But is part of the problem, is the majority of the problem with drunk driving capitalism?
Embellish that a little bit.
Let me explain.
That's interesting.
Bartenders don't tell you when you're drunk and when you to stop because they need to make...
Technically, they're supposed to.
Money as, but, right, technically. But they need to make as much money as possible, so they let you keep throwing booze down your gullet. Is it because capitalism...
Whoa. Time out, buddy. We're all adults here, and I'm not going to blame any bartender or any restaurant for serving me too much booze, okay? Because if you're...
You can't make smart decisions when you're drunk.
Hey, look it. The reality of it is that there is a law in place that if somebody's obviously over...
And they don't enforce it, Mike.
Well, I think some bars do.
Where?
Well, they enforce it when the person is, like...
Yeah, rude to them.
Fucked up.
No, Lee just makes a good point, though. They enforce it when they're hurting other business.
Yes, right. But here,
when they're pissing other people
though.
Off.
But if Matt, look it. If we were out at the spread one night and we had three Johnny Black on a rock.
That's never happened,
okay.
But continue.
Well, that's never happened.
I've never had a drink, Mikey, so you're going to have
okay,
to.
Okay, so I'll pull Lenny into this. If Lenny and I are at the spread and we had three Johnny Black on the rocks and we're having fun, we're sitting, you know, cracking the sidewalk, smoking cigarettes, and we go inside and they go, guys,
Wait, did you just say we're cracking the sidewalk?
Yeah, why?
Like you're saying we're too fat, we're cracked. Fuck you. Speak for yourself, fat fuck. Don't fucking throw me under that fucking bus, too.
Don't get angry.
We got a poll update.
Hold on.
Caesar's the only no vote. He voted in his own poll.
Wait a minute. The poll's only been up 10 minutes. I want to see the results.
But he's the only one that voted.
Yeah. Listen,
I mean, he voted in his own poll.
I believe he will be in the minority on this. I do not mind us talking politics on this poll.
And Lenny, it was a reference to when we were going to fight those guys at one time. You just said we had enough weight to break the sidewalk. You remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah. Well, no, you...
Oh, like, yeah.
You okay. Get back to capitalism.
So, I'm just saying, my point is this, is we go back in there and to get a fourth drink, and we've been there, say, 2 hours, and they go, oh, guys, you kind of look intoxicated. I mean, look, we're adults. Let us make our own decisions.
I agree with that, but if you... They print drink responsibly on a can of Coors,
yep.
But the person ringing you up doesn't check to see if you have a 30-day keychain, a ring on your keychain. They'll still sell it to you. They don't give a fuck. So there is a capitalist incentive in there, even though, yes, I do agree people are completely responsible for their own behavior.
No, I agree with you. That's where I'm at. I'm thinking, all right, let's think of the other options. If we were a little more, oh, I know, this is the evil word. This is the one that makes me go to Canada.
The S word?
Socialist.
Oh.
If we were a little more socialist, would we maybe as a society not get into so much trouble, not kill so many people?
Oh, yeah, because we're going to talk about the Canadians and how much beer they fucking drink, right?
Okay, but you know, drunk driving, if you compare the two, even by ratio, if you make it even, Steven, not even close.
They have riots and kill each other after hockey games.
Fuck. Okay, you know what we have, Mike? Should I go through our list, and then you could tell me Vancouver's list?
What? What do we have here?
Are you serious?
Let's do it. Throw it.
Okay, how many gun murders? How many people?
Time out. How many people die because of a gun?
We're talking about drinking.
We're talking about capitalism.
Oh, you don't think people murder each other drunkenly?
No, we're talking about drinking at a bar. Now you're talking about gun murders.
Wait, you just brought up. Tell me what's wrong with us. You're the one that brought up a riot.
Speaking of drinking in a bar, none of us have all been together in one place to drink in a while.
Yeah, I you know what, Len? I'm glad you brought that up.
I love that. This started with Ryan Dunn drove off a bridge drunk, and Lenny's like, you know, we should have a drink sometime.
Len, if you want.
No. I'm not saying drive home. What I'm saying is we should all just go grab hotel rooms and go have a fun night.
Len, I'm in. After my back surgery, I haven't hung out with my paisanos in a while.
No, listen, your back surgery's done. You've been getting shit on by strippers or God knows what the hell you're doing in your free time. From what I've gathered from the short conversation we've had. But I think it's time you get down and have a few cocktails.
Absolutely. And I'm just going
to
throw
I would like to volunteer Pat's boat as a location to drink.
Okay.
Okay.
Patrick.
I was listening. Let's do it.
All right. We got
now he's all, let's do it. Let's do it. As soon as we get down there, he stops picking up his phone.
No, he's a good guy. Pat wouldn't do that to us.
No, he would.
He's looking the other way.
That's only you, Lenny. You don't pick up your phone for anyone but your girlfriend.
Whoa.
No comment.
Oh, she doesn't listen to this show, Lenny, does she?
She doesn't now.
No, I don't think so.
I'm going to be like Bruce Fretz sometimes.
Yeah, I like the
sometimes.
Oh.
Bruce Fretz playing a little close to the vest.
Well, sometimes it's kind of like me saying maybe. It basically means go fuck yourself.
Yeah, well, that's politics.
No, that's not what I said. Have you ever called? Look, you're a busy guy. I'm a busy guy. I miss a lot of phone calls. You miss a lot of phone calls. But because we're good friends, I don't get upset about it because I know we're both busy.
Well, some people, when they say...
But then you got touchy-feely douchebags like Pat. Oh, you didn't pick up my phone call. Me.
You know.
Okay. You know what? I bet your girlfriend never talked to
you. The one
like
thing
that.
I will say, though, one thing that we do have is common friends together. If I call one of us or
no,
one of us
you know what it is? I'm going to tell you what the secret is. I'm going to tell you what's going on here. Lenny, myself, Pat, all our friends, we always rip on all our friends. They have girlfriends for getting married, for having families, moving on in life because they're losers, they're bums, whatever. So Lenny's got to act like this girl don't matter. And she's a stalker and don't matter and, you know, don't mean shit and whatever, because he secretly doesn't want to show that he's being hypocritical and he's going out with this broad.
Look at
Am I wrong?
look at it. All I'm saying is this. I've gotten to a point where, you know, at one point you're like that, oh, let's make out in front of our friends with boyfriends or girlfriends. You know, all that
Did you
thing.
Say you're going to make out with your boyfriend?
You know, my point is this. If someone's got a girl and they want to hang out, fuck them. Who cares?
Audio
who cares?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who cares? I agree.
Len, what's going on, though?
Oh, my God.
Are there any girls that actually listen to this show?
There's a few women that listen to this
there's
show.
There's a few. I personally know a few.
Pat, you can get on now. We're talking this kind. Hey, Pat, you had so much to say outside about Lenny and his girlfriend. You got nothing to say now?
I had nothing to say about you.
Oh!
That is a lie.
Oh!
That's Matt trying to start it up again.
He lies like he drips grease off his
face. Pat, you realize I'm your last hope.
I know you're my last hope. That's why I'm not going to piss you off.
Wait. What does that mean? That Pat's, you're Pat's last hope.
You're borderline leaving me, too, by the way. I hope you know that. You're borderline.
Leaving you?
What's going on?
What is with all this talk? Get a hotel room. Just make out with my
Do you understand something? These are bromances to the extreme.
They are.
Then why do we all fuck each other and hate each other?
You know what? That's going to be a topic for next week, bromance.
Okay.
Oh, is that the topic for next week, bromance? I'm writing it down. Bro.
No, that's going to be for Thursday when I call in bromances.
No, I thought you're sitting in Thursday.
Yeah, when I come in.
Yeah. Now tell me this, though. Pat, why can you talk about Lenny's girlfriend outside but not to Lenny?
I didn't talk about his girlfriend outside. I think you're mistaken.
Oh, now he's a big shot. Now you're backstuffing, Pat.
Yeah.
I didn't say a word.
Whatchamacallit. Overtime's been fun, but I want to go inside and eat.
What are you going to eat?
I don't know. Probably have some fruit and nuts because I'm starting this weight challenge with you and Sergio.
You're in the land of fruit and nuts.
You know what? I just want to say this, throw this out here real quick, because last year around this time, I had some issues with a little 19-year-old, and I'm going to throw this out here. I'm not going to say anything about that. I just want to say, in Len's defense.
Oh no, you're going to say a lot about it in about 2 minutes.
When was the last time that the group of friends that, you know, I don't think at one point in time all of us have had girlfriends at one time. And any time that nobody has a girlfriend and one guy gets it, why do they always have to shit on that guy for the one?
Hey, Mikey, were we wrong about your girlfriend?
No, I'm not saying
were
that.
Were we wrong?
How much shit did you give
and
me about
how much
her?
Of that shit was true?
No, not that shit.
I'm talking about
the bullshit about the cracking jokes and everything. I don't think it's right. If Lena has a girlfriend, big fucking deal. He's getting laid. Great.
I wasn't wrong about your lady friend, first of all.
All right. Well, with that, I'm going to go inside and eat.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. And we're talking Mikey's 19-year-old.
Yeah, we're going to talk. We're going to talk bromances next time I'm on the show.
All right. Well, I'll see you Thursday.
Hey, Len, by the way.
Yeah.
I love you, buddy.
Oh, fuck. Hey, Len, you want some fruits and nuts?
I got some other to say.
You should have said, I love you, man.
I love Caesar. I love you too, Matt.
Wow, you are a fucking ass fucker.
I love Mr.
And
B.
As I leave, I think Matt and Caesar have a bromance to which they've experimented with. I'll talk to you all later. Goodbye.
Bye, Lenny.
Ciao.
Lenny, you're a fucking douche.
By the way, how long has this overtime been?
30 minutes. Secrets are being unveiled on the Matthew Aaron Show.
Oh, by the way, I just want to throw this out here. If me, you...
We got 20 minutes over.
Okay, I just want to throw this out there. If me, you, Lenny, Marconi are ever out, and anybody thinks that they can crack these jokes with us, anybody says wants to start cracking jokes like this, we'll break their fucking head.
Nobody would crack jokes on us like we do.
We don't even crack any jokes.
I'm just saying, we're friends, but you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, real good friends who call each other on Saturday. Oh, wait, I did not get that phone call.
I'm not going to lie.
Pat DeStefano's phone went missing. I had a grad party. You could call me. Mikey Turzo calls me all the time. All right. I will take that back.
Can I, Lee, go ahead.
What do you got?
Right.
Yeah, bring
right.
up a topic.
Little teeny weeny thing.
What do you got, pal?
I saw something about the Cubs that they have endorsed the It Gets Better project.
Wait, any Cub fans here?
What's the It Gets Better?
The It Gets Better project is love column in The Stranger and in The Onion. And that is this program, which is about gay bullying, and it's been endorsed by the Ricketts family and by the Chicago Cubs.
Don't break the tape.
And they're the second professional baseball team to do this, apparently. And I just wanted to say, at a baseball stadium in where is there more homophobia than in close proximity to a sports stadium?
They got
to
stop gay bullying. It's Wrigley Field. It's the largest gay bar in the world. I mean, if they had gay bullying, then have no. If they allowed it, they'd have no more fans.
They'd have no more team.
allegedly.
Allegedly.
I like that. Well, let's just throw that in there. The mob doesn't
look,
exist, and everything's allegedly.
Look, Moonves may already be sending me a restraining order or
right.
a lawsuit.
Right.
Well, at least
so
it's
allegedly.
Not
for listen, on these allegations which pertain to famous people, I think I have about as much credibility as that long-haired idiot California dude on TMZ. So that.
Oh God.
You know, I just want to throw this in here. I really liked Mike Royce.
Yes, me too.
But I'm in Doris Roberts' defense, I was kind of disappointed that she apparently can't cook.
Yes, she apparently can't cook, and she also apparently cannot find Blog Talk Radio Live.
Which is shocking, shocking for an octogenarian.
I can see not being able to find the internet radio.
I don't know if she can find the internet. Yeah, Adam, producer Adam's right.
Yeah, I can see the internet. What is that thing inside of a bathing suit?
I get a little more support from you guys, though, in the future? For the love of God.
Well, listen.
I'm the only one fighting a free speech battle with
our
producer.
You are. You have my side. I don't think we should be bothered by these things. And the Doris
Roberts guys go home tonight, go on Facebook, go to that poll. And at least put some time.
I'm putting yes.
All right.
And if you go back and listen to the beginning of this show 9 hours ago when it started, you'd be able to hear all about Doris Roberts. And
what do you got, Pat?
Just know one thing. Vote Marconi.
For what?
I don't know. Whatever you voted for.
Vote Marconi.
He can't be the only guy that's out there.
He's the only one?
Well, we got to help him out.
You got
to vote Marconi, too.
No, you need to help him realize and see the light.
He's going
to
be so
curious.
You
know, I'm just going to throw this out here. I think part of my eating addiction and my weight problem.
The Les Moonves thing didn't make him furious enough?
Part of my eating addiction.
We gained some Twitter followers during this show. I don't know how that happened.
Why? Why do people like this show so much?
I think there is an essence of anything can happen.
Yes.
Good and bad.
Yes.
I think there is an essence of anything goes.
Yes.
And I think they like the fact that it's completely uncensored.
Yes, I agree.
I think you cannot hear this show for better or for worse anywhere else.
Yes. So thank you for listening to the show where we talk politics and religion sometimes, but not lots of times.
No, we'll have Mike Liam Black on Thursday, so I'm sure it'll be fucking hilarious time.
Yeah.
Okay, during Mike Royce's interview, though, I'm telling dick and fart jokes and talking about Scott Bakula shitting his pants, and allegedly. And, no, he never did that. But I mean, we were joking.
We were, and Bruce Fretz is rubbing his temples like Caesar, trying to wait to get his questions in.
Oh, I know. He was more rubbing his temples about the echo.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, what's going on here? Oh, what is going on with my mic stand? All right, we are going to I'll let you guys have anything else you guys want to talk about? Any last words? Anything you want to talk about?
Great
we got
show,
more
man.
Time.
Great
bring
show.
Something
great
up. Show. Oh, great show.
Thank you, Pat.
Yeah.
Actually, I think we had a great show. We did a lot today and I
all I hear when you and Lenny talk is that song. It's all I ever hear.
What song is that?
You guys should change
it's
your
fucking mind. Golden.
Nino Rota.
do you like Dean Martin, Mikey?
Absolutely.
We're going to leave with Dean Martin right, then. Is
you.
That
thank,
okay?
Thank
actually,
you.
Here's what I'm going to do for our listeners. Since Clarence Clemons died this week, I'm a huge E Street Band guy. Huge. Seen them live a ton of times. Close to 10. I know people that see them close to 30, so who the fuck am I? But I'm going to play this Dean Martin song.
Okay.
If you want to listen, if you don't, whatever. Don't matter to me.
A little respect to Dino. And the other Dino we'll have on later.
No, we'll respect the Clarence.
No, we're going to do Dino and Clarence. I love the Clarence. The Clarence.
Almost like being in love. There's a smile on my face for the whole human race. Why, it's almost like being in love. All the music of life seems to be like a bell that is ringing for me. As for the way that I feel when that bell starts to peal, I would swear I was falling, swear I was falling. almost like being in love.
What a day this has been, what a rare mood I'm in. Why, it's almost like being in love.
Oh, there's a smile on the face of a whole human race. Why, it's almost like being in love. All the music of life seems to be like a bell that is ringing for me. And from the way that I feel when the bell starts to beat, I would swear I was falling, swear I was falling, almost like being.